go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running. It's about 2 minutes past the hour. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go if you would like to become part of the merry, zany, wacky, madcap, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Pop on by, pick out a screen name and a password, and jump into the merry, wacky, zaniness. Yes, indeed. If you do so, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Kid Mark and BT Blom. And, of course, capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator and birthday guy this evening, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. Sparky's celebrating today, not just his birthday. Beer, bud, and salsa day, says Sparky. I voted today by mail-in. Yes. Congratulations on all fronts, Sparky, and thanks for being part of the community and doing all you do to make it the enjoyable, pleasant, occasionally madcap place that it is. Happy birthday, indeed. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Brother Deacon Asa informs me that Friday on the Front Porch is hot on both streams. Asking, how's that brisket chili, Chef Kincaid? Interesting you should ask. I just had a bowl of it for dinner. And it's fantastic. And it's not even done yet. It'll simmer overnight. The brisket is shredded up in these lovely fine shreds in there, and the chili, let's see, there's ancho chili in it. My homemade chipotles, some chipotle powder. Like I said, I couldn't find the dried chilies anywhere, so I didn't get to do that part of it. But wow, what a garlic, onions, sun-dried tomato pieces, a Mexican brand of tomato sauce, two different kinds of beans, green chilies, bell pepper, celery. Did I say onion? There's more onion. And, what am I thinking of? And of course the broth, the beef broth from the smoking of the brisket. Ooh-wee! It's probably not the hottest chili anybody's ever had, but it's got a really nice fire to it. I mean, it's the kind of fire that I'm fond of, because it's not, you know, up there in your face chili fire. It's it comes on afterward. It's a back heat, and you get all the wonderful flavors up front, and then woof, you know, your mouth spontaneously combusts. With a little bit of shredded cheese, a little bit of sour cream, whee, yeah. And I think I've got about 3 gallons. So we'll be able to sort of tailgate at Bridge Day tomorrow, and share with some friends and neighbors and what have you. Should be a real blast. So that's the chili report. Thanks for asking, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you very much indeed. And we have, speaking of thanks, we have thanks to send out. We have subscriber thanks to send out this evening. Scott says, I think the phrase you're looking for, in regard to the heat, is it creeps up on you like cheap undershorts. Yeah, okay, but I kind of, it's more flavor, better, nicer, not, oh dear. Yeah. The only thing that's not in the chili, by the way, the only thing that's not in it is a little blast of tequila. I didn't get around to that. But apart from that, yeah, I'll put a food porn picture up on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter later on. But anyway, like I said, we have thanks to send out to our subscribers. Thank you to Joseph in Ohio. And thank you very kindly to Robert in Iowa. Thanks a bunch to David in Ohio. And thank you very kindly to Mike in Cascadia. And thanks very kindly to Sharon, a brand new subscriber signing up today. Thank you, Sharon. So let's see, other thanks to send out, late last night, thanks to, Rusty for jumping in. Hey, Rusty, thanks. That helped a big load. Thank you to Khalil, who jumped in earlier this evening. So here's the bottom line for finishing the week and keeping the horn on the air past, tonight. It could have been a whole lot more terrifying than what it is. We got $410 to go. We need to raise $410 this evening, and that gets the bills all paid up from for this month. So awesome! Thank you so much. And now, 41 at 10, 10 at 41, 1 at 410, 2 at 205, 4 at 102.50, 8 at 51 and a quarter. You see how it works. And so there we have it. Thank you to our subscribers, one and all. And thanks to everybody who has helped keep the lights on and keep the packets passing here on this little attempt at independent, progressive, liberal broadcasting. Thank you indeed. And welcome to the chat room, to Glenn in San Diego. Hope you enjoy. Y'all have fun in there, okay? So where do we go this evening on this Friday on the front porch? Well, a reminder, this actually turns out to be the first full-length Friday on the front porch that we've had in a couple of weeks. And that's cool because I have a feeling there's plenty to talk about. We'll have a good group together. If you want to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, you know I trust you know how we go about doing that. Get on Skype and send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc on Skype, and Sparky will show you the breadcrumb trail to the old holla tree that we rent from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the extraordinary ordinary round table around which we gather every Friday. So, barring that, if you absolutely can't make Skype work, you can always join via the stress line, which is, of course, 304-640-2829, and also toll-free 844-843-4676. Where y'all want to take the conversation, we'll find out when we fire it up in fairly short order. Note coming in from Les. Subject, food porn. Bob, you're the Gordon Ramsay of Appalachia. Listening to you run down that menu while I head to Wawa for a quesadilla is the cruelest of cruelties. Oh God! Have any of y'all? There's one of the Craig Ferguson comedy specials where he talks about working with Mick Jagger, and the first time that he met him, and he's a tiny little fella, and he said, "Would you like a quesadilla?" So that's what they are to me now, quesadillas. Ooh, some warm tortillas with the chili, that would be good. That would be good. Ron in Raleigh says, not hot. Here in North Carolina, we say if you don't sweat, you ain't et. Put some hot sauce in it. P.S., you can strip paint with my chili. I didn't say it wasn't hot. I said it's not the hot you ever ate, hottest you ever ate. See, I have this philosophy that says you should taste a lot of other stuff going on before you start crying and your mouth starts hurting. So it's got a respectable heat. And it is. It, like Scott says, it's a creeper. But it's I'm pretty proud of it. And by the time I'm finished with it, I'll be even prouder. Because, like I said, there's still work to be done after the program. Mm-hmm. There's more brisket to be added. More broth. Mm. And probably the neatest thing about this is the hickory smoke flavor that it carries. And that just run it. And the hickory smoke mix, particularly I like the little sun-dried tomatoes in it. Well, yeah. And so that's, And not particularly fatty. Because a lot of the fat goes away in the process of the smoking of the brisket, but it's got a nice chew to it because of the brisket, as compared to just using hamburger. I just took a bite. Damn, that's good. I thought we would start this evening, and I trust by now Tracy has probably heard the ad that ran in Arkansas. I thought we would start this evening by going back to that thing, because it is, we've learned a little bit more about the ad today. You may recall that it's... It was an ad run on behalf of a Republican named French Smith, I think, in the 2nd District of Arkansas, which has a significant African-American demographic. And, breaking news, this just in. State-run Saudi television, according to The Guardian, has confirmed that Jamal Khashoggi is dead. So the cover-up is on. Yeah, French Hill. Thank you, Mighty Mouse, is the Republican. We'll get back to that in a second. The Saudi report, citing preliminary findings from an official investigation, was announced on state TV today. It said, wait for it. Okay, so this is a horror. So, you're probably not going to laugh, but this is absurd. Absurdly unbelievable. You know, how can you tell when a member of the Saudi royal house is lying? Their lips are moving. Saudi state TV said a fight broke out between Khashoggi and people who met him in the consulate, leading to his death. Wow, took them 2 weeks to come up with that bad a lie. And now a further announcement. General Ahmed Al-Asri, an intelligence officer who has been identified in the case, has been sacked. And 18 Saudi nationals have allegedly been arrested. Yeah. So, there's that. No. Anatole asking in the chat room, does the story cover how gruesome his, does the announcement cover how gruesome his murder was? No, but I guess when you get attacked by a gang of 15 or so Saudis, they attack you by cutting you to pieces a little bit at a time. That's, yeah, no, doesn't wash. Wait a minute, early cowbell for Steve from New York. In other words, the Saudis are saying the bone saw just went off. Hoy. And of course, nothing will be done to them because, well, they own the President of the United States, and that's embarrassing in the extreme. Nothing good ever happens to us over there. Nothing good at all. So back to the filthy political ad. I ran the audio last night. It purports to be a pair of American women saying that they just can't. Well, here it is again. Let's make French Hill own this, because that's part of this evening's story. Hold on, might take a minute. And this is just astonishingly racist and astonishingly vicious and astonishingly nasty, wicked, wrong.
What do you think about what's happening in Washington?
Our Congressman French Hill and the Republicans know that it's dangerous to change the presumption of innocence to a presumption of guilt, especially for black men. If the Democrats can do that to a white justice of the Supreme Court with no evidence, no corroboration, and all of her witnesses, including her best friend, say it didn't happen, what will happen to our husbands, our fathers, or our sons when a white girl lies on them?
Girl, white Democrats will be lynching black folk again.
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that. If you get caught, she will cry rape.
I'm voting to keep Congressman French Hill and the Republicans because we have to protect our men and boys. We can't afford to let white Democrats take us back to bad old days of race verdicts, life sentences, and lynchings when a white girl screams rape.
Paid for by Black Americans for the President's Agenda. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Now, there's a reason I ran that again. And the reason I ran that again is because French Hill, I mean, this is some top shelf restaurant quality solid brass chutzpah. Yeah, French Hill got wind of the ad, got wind of the fact that the ad was running on radio stations that serve the African American community in the greater Little Rock area. It's, by the way, it's also running or something similar to it in St. Louis in an ad there. Mm-hmm. And where else? Kansas City. I bet you Sister Carol Baker's even maybe heard it there. They were targeted for voters over age 35. And interestingly, they're not running on hip-hop stations. More on that in a moment. So here's the part of it that's sort of news. The guy running against French Hill tweeted, including the ad itself. Well, he retweeted and commented on the original tweet that had the ad in it. Clark Tucker, who's running for the House in Arkansas's 2nd District as a Democrat, said, "Representative Hill and his allies will have to live with the kind of campaign they're running. This radio ad is disgraceful and has no place in our society. We won't let these shameful tactics distract us from our fight to stand up for the people in Arkansas, too, on the critical issues in our lives." Okay. Now, here's where the top-shelf restaurant-quality brass-bound chutzpah comes in. French Hill, immediately, sort of, after it had been running on several radio stations for a while, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, French Hill issued a statement. And he tweeted yesterday, "Some may have heard an appalling ad on the radio. I condemn this outrageous ad in the strongest terms. I do not support that message, and there is no place in Arkansas for this nonsense." Sure, Frenchie. Sure. But here's the best part. "I call on my opponent to delete his tweet spreading this message unbecoming of political discourse." In other words, stop exposing me for the racist freak that I am. Stop exposing me for ads running on my behalf. Stop exposing me for ringing the bell that can't be unrung, that I know, and you know, you can't unring it. And stop. Stop. Because it's his opponent's fault for calling him out for a racist ad being run on his, the Republicans, behalf. See what I mean? That is some top shelf, restaurant quality, brass bound chutzpah. Jesus. Steve in New York says, "A friend of mine and I have a saying, parade of aliens. We use this to express how shocked we are, even though we really aren't or should be. It's as if we were staring out the window as a column of real actual space aliens walked down the street, and even though we would know they were aliens, we confirmed that came from Kolob and Norblap 9, yet we would stare at them and know that they were aliens, but still couldn't believe it. I feel the same about the right wing. We see them for who they are. We know them for who they are. We're not surprised about who they are, but we still find ourselves doing a double take when they do what we know and expect them to do." Precisely. So, where'd that ad come from? Glad you asked. It came from the owner of the San Francisco Giants baseball team. A billionaire white man by the name of Charles Johnson, who has been the major funder, the major league funder, see what I did there, for the sleazy money group behind the ad called Black Americans for the President's Agenda, both of them. Yeah. Charles Johnson. As it's been reported, The donors bankrolling this committee, however, appear to be rich conservative ideologues, not the actual black Americans they claim to be. So it's actually disgusting white billionaires for the president's agenda. Charles Robinson, who's Vernon, or Charles Johnson, and also who's Vernon Robinson? Vernon Robinson is the head of the super PAC in question. Let's see if we can get this to run.
You needed that job, and you were the best qualified. But they gave it to an illegal alien so they could pay him under the table. And it's happening all over America because of politicians like your congressman, Brad Miller. Millions of Americans have lost their jobs to people who aren't even supposed to be here. Instead of securing the borders, Brad Miller voted to give these illegal aliens driver's licenses, social security benefits, and many other government freebies. He actually voted to allow convicted child molesters to immigrate to America. These illegal aliens pay no taxes but take our jobs and our government handouts, then spit in our face and burn our flag. Well, Vernon Robinson has had enough. Vernon Robinson is an Air Force Academy graduate who proudly served in uniform under the American flag, the flag Brad Miller voted to let illegal aliens burn and trample.
I'm Vernon Robinson, and I approve this message. If you send me to Congress, I'll secure the border, stop the handouts, and protect your jobs.
Paid for by Robinson for Congress.
Vernon, to his credit, is at least an African-American guy. He's a really nasty guy, but that's it. Yeah. And he ran for Congress a couple of times with ads like that. He also made bank running the Draft Ben Carson Committee for President in 2016. He it was who told the Associated Press that the ad buy had cost about $50,000. And the financial disclosures for the PAC do include Charles B. Johnson. He was, until he retired, the chairman of Franklin Resources, Inc. And yes, he's the principal owner of the San Francisco Giants baseball team. He gave $1,000. So did Trish Duggan, who's the wife of a pharma billionaire by the name of Robert Duggan. Arthur Tim Choate gave $1,000. He's an investor and a so-called game fishing enthusiast. Another investor by the name of Norman Waite Jr. gave $1,000. So if you happen to see him, at least know what you're dealing with. Classic old school Republican racists. But here's the fun part. Vernon Robinson did not place ad buys on hip-hop stations, as I noted earlier, because he said, and this is a quote, "Hip-hop voters don't vote." Well, here's hoping he's wrong. And here's hoping that in being proven wrong, those hip-hop voters go and reject French Hill for all they're worth. Wow. Just wow. But that's not all. We've got other Republican sleaze. We're getting close to the election, so the filth is bubbling to the surface, and filthy it is indeed. Because it's what they've got. If a Republican had to campaign without campaigning on fear and prejudices and bigotries, there would be no Republican campaign ads. And of course, the sad fact of the matter is, they campaign that way as well because it works. Yeah. Jesus. Disgusting. Wonder how, I mean, San Francisco is a notably progressive place, notably progressive liberal-ish city. And San Francisco loves its Giants. And you really, you know, you can't hold this against the team itself. But you gotta wonder how San Franciscans and Giants fans are going to feel about the principal owner of the team. Or, hey, here's a thought. Maybe he doesn't need to be the principal owner of the Giants anymore. Remember Marge Schott there in Cincinnati? And how she got booted from being the owner of the Reds? Because of her overt racism? Maybe Charles Johnson needs to be marged. No maybes about it. Major League Baseball needs to, the owners need to meet and throw him the hell out of their little club. Because really, if you are an African-American person who is a ball player, or B, let's say you are a person of Caribbean heritage or Mexican heritage who is a ball player, or C, you're just a decent human being who's a ball player, why would you play for a team that somebody you know to be one pillowcase away from being a grand dragon in the Klan? Why would you work for that guy? Would you? It'll be interesting to find out if maybe Major League Baseball does take action. It's about 26 minutes before the hour, and let's do a little fundraising update. I had a note for our buddy Dave in Talibandiana. Oh, wait a second. A note from Rusty. Subject line: maggots. Billable Rick, you done been caught. Rusty says, I just heard Billable Rick on the Norman Goldman show. Got some laughs on your maggot gig. Infringement? Well, not in this case. No, I don't enforce that. But the more it gets legs, the better it is. Let's see here. I'm looking for the message from Dave in Talibandiana. And it's going to, just a minute. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Darn it. can't seem to find it now. But in essence, Dave said, kicked in another $20 and said, this is a challenge for Friday evening. And in celebration of y'all helping to save me from a fire that destroyed my house last year. And that just, wow. What a little community we have. What a little community we have. a note just came in from Steve from Georgistan. And this takes us down to, 370 to go. There it is. Dave from Talibandiana also adds, I voted straight ticket Democratic yesterday when I went for early voting. Take that, all you right-wing idiots. My apologies to Agent Fred, your buddy Dave in Talibandiana. Thanks, Dave. And a note coming from Steve from Georgistan. Hey, Bob, this is from Miss Karen. She pulled a C-note in on a scratch-off. She said if she hits the Mega Millions, she's going to buy you a radio station. I get first dibs on running the soundboard. You absolutely do, Steve. And it'll be one hell of a soundboard, too. No doubt about it. So thank you, Steve, and thank you, Miss Karen, and congratulations. It's fun when that happens, isn't it? And yes, Mega Millions is at, it crossed the $1 billion mark this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah. Wow. And if it you know, it's probably gone up past a billion since 3 p.m. We're 3.5, because when the sales go crazy like this, the pot has to, it'll go up in real time. And wow, yeah. Thank you very kindly to Kenda in Missouri. Responding to Dave's challenge. So that takes us down to 350 to go. Thank you. Thank you, Kenda. Thank you very, very much. In regard to the Mega Millions jackpot, Randy in PA says, yeah, I really want my life ruined by winning the Mega Millions. Not. And by the way, if you see the articles, if you happen to win, don't go woohoo and run down to your lottery office and sign the ticket. What you do is you keep the ticket close to you. It's a bearer instrument. That means the bearer gets the money. You go find you a good lawyer. And you have the lawyer set you up a trust that doesn't have your name prominently displayed upon it, and let the trust collect the money. And then that way you won't you can hopefully maintain some degree of your anonymity. Jack in Shreveport with a note says, subject line Charles Johnson. I was feeling like I heard the name Charles Johnson a while back. I think it was that there was some confusion with at Little Green Footballs on Twitter, whose name is also Charles Johnson, I think. I don't recall the subject matter that surrounded that, except that it hadn't sounded like something at Little Green Footballs would say. Yeah, and I think there's another Charles Johnson beyond that, there's another right-wing Charles Johnson. Who's the racist owner of the San Francisco Giants. Too many Johnsons of the Charles variety, of the right-wing Charles variety. Scott with a note says, I sure hope I win it. It'd be so nice to hear from friends who haven't been in touch for decades.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Yeah, I haven't talked to you in about 30 years. Yeah. How's it been going? Good. You have a loan?
That's why you go set up the trust. So, hey, thank you very kindly to Bruce. We're making progress now. We're down to $300 to go. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you very, very kindly. That's tremendously helpful. Thank you so very much. And with any luck at all, yeah, we'll get the bills paid and be here Monday. And then on Wednesday, we'll celebrate the 15th birthday of the Horn. Note coming from our pal Barkway. Subject line, 9 years under the radar. While back on your show, you mentioned how the GOP, unlike Dems, had spent decades planning and mobilizing to take over not just the halls of government, but all areas of public influence and control, and also how they quietly mobilized to uncompromisingly work toward defined goals. Check out YAL, Young Americans for Liberty. They spent 9 years organizing and enlisting the efforts of 300,000 young people to push GOP ideals, though you would be hard-pressed to see GOP in any of their literature. If you check their website, you'll see they're on hundreds of college campuses, and yet who's ever even heard of them? Wow, I'll check them out. Thank you, Barkway. The only way to fight them, the only way to defeat them, is to know that they even exist. I mean, that's the beginning of it all. Back to GOP skullduggery and vicious, hateful politics. They got a race going on out in Colorado. The incumbent is Representative Scott Tipton. He's in his fourth term as a member of the House, and he's having a rough time of it this year. And he's being challenged in Colorado's 3rd Congressional District by Diane Mitch Bush, M-I-T-S-C-H, Diane Mitch Bush. And so, does he want to discuss the issue? No, not really. He just wants to smear. Because why? Because he's a Republican.
I'm Scott Tipton, and I approve this message.
The Democratic Socialists of America. They openly propose to do away with capitalism. And Diane Mitch Bush, she helped fund a leading socialist magazine. So it's no wonder Mitch Bush supports a government takeover of our healthcare system that would kick you off your healthcare plan and more than double federal taxes for all our families. Career politician Diane Mitch Bush. She'll cost us too much.
Really? She funded a socialist magazine? What would that be? The Worker? The World Socialist Daily? No. The Socialist Magazine, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, in question is the brilliant publication, award-winning publication, In These Times. And since at least 1989, they've not identified as an independent socialist newspaper. Now, Representative Tipton, who is a fascist, by the way, I mean, if he's going to holler socialist, I'm by God going to holler fascist. Representing Tipton, well, he's been calling her a socialist for weeks, hoping that people, the stupid people in the 3rd District of Colorado will go, socialist? Let's see. Who's written in these times? How about Noam Chomsky, Matt Groening, Studs Terkel, Howard Zinn, my personal hero, Kurt Vonnegut? Yeah. And she gets, talk about guilt by association, she gets hammered in a filthy Republican attack ad because she subscribed to the publication. It's not like she owned it. Not like she was the managing editor or the publisher or anything. She said maybe at some point in time she'd made a tiny little contribution to help keep them afloat. Ms. Bush also noted some of the other magazines and publications that she's helped to fund. That would be Time Magazine, Newsweek, Ms., not Ms., The Nation, High Country News,
The Failing New York Times, The Corrupt Washington Post,
and Colorado Politics and The Denver Post. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the other hand, there's Representative Tipton. He dipped into the federal till, you know, your money, taxpayer dollars. It was in the operating account for his congressional office, and he used it for vendors that entered into contracts with his nephew's company. Ain't that just something? Yeah. As they say up the hollers, that about beats cats fucking. Yeah. But that's not all. What else can you not do if you're running for office and you would like to not be smeared by your Republican opponent? Well, for this... we got to here's the ad.
What is Abigail Spanberger hiding? Spanberger doesn't want us to know that she taught at an Islamic school nicknamed Terror High, a terrorist breeding ground. One graduate plotted to assassinate President Bush. Another was arrested for trying to bring a butcher knife on an airplane. So dangerous, even Chuck Schumer called for the school to be shut down. But Abigail Spanberger cashed her paychecks like nothing was wrong. Congressional Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
God, the horror, the horror. Teachers cashing their paychecks. Oh, no! Who's she running against? She's running against Dave Bratt in the 7th District of Virginia. And Dave Bratt's not having the best time of it either. She is literally being smeared by Dave Bratt and a GOP super PAC for teaching English. No, really. Teaching English. Subversive English teachers. What are you going to do? She probably taught him how to say, how much is that butcher knife? Yeah. Probably taught that other kid. Right. Abigail Spanberger cashed her paychecks like nothing was wrong. And by the way, this Democratic candidate, she's a former CIA operative. Well, that's a, you know, there's no bottom to the sleaze and the filth of which Republicans are capable. She taught at the Islamic Saudi Academy, there they are again, in Northern Virginia between 2000 and 2003, not even an entire year. And she did that because she was waiting for the CIA and the Postal Inspection Service to get finished with her security clearance applications. And after that, she went to work for the CIA on counterterrorism issues. None of that matters to Dave Bratt. Fact-checking the ad, USA Today said the CIA was fully aware of her employment, and Ahmed Omar Abu Ali, who's serving a life sentence, graduated from the school several years before Spanberger even taught there. Yeah. And the Dave Brat campaign isn't officially nudge, nudge, wink, wink behind the campaign. But the campaign got legs after Brat went on a radio show and said, they've produced terrorists. They're called Terror High. They're openly anti-American, anti-woman, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, and anti-Christian. And then, lo and behold, there's the ad. Mm-hmm. But Dave Brat sure can climb up on the cross in a hurry. Scampers right up it like a squirrel. He took a meeting with prison inmates. And he said that the problems they have, drug addiction, dealing with society after, after serving their time, all of that. Well, he said, you think you're having a hard time? I got $5 million worth of negative ads going at me. How you think I'm feeling? Nothing's easy for anybody. You think I'm a congressman? Oh, life's easy. This guy's off having steaks. Baloney. I got a daughter. She's got to deal with that crap on TV every day. It's tough. Mm-hmm. Just shinnied right up and started nailing himself in. INRI. I'm nailed right in. Oh, yeah. Ron and Raleigh, I trust you, speaking of skullduggery, I trust you read the Atlantic article on the rat-fucking of Gary Hart. Republicans will stop at nothing to get and maintain power. No lie is too egregious or fanciful for a Republican to repeat it if they think it will garner them a vote. Yeah, that's the truth. And, yeah, I have read it. In fact, Scott and I were talking about it a little bit toward the end of the program last night. If you haven't read it, go to theatlantic.com and read the article. I think it's called, Was Gary Hart Set Up? It's, and the answer, not to give anything away, is yes. The whole monkey business thing, Donna Rice, all of that, a complete fabrication. Subject line, let's go there. Stephen, New York says, they want to say that a Democrat helped to fund a socialist magazine? Then let's say this. If the GOP candidate smokes, say that the Republican candidate helped to fund the poisoning of millions of citizens, targeting of children with highly addictive and cancer-causing substances, and the lying to Congress about the organization's nefarious poison goals and objectives. It does. That axe does swing both ways, doesn't it? Okie dokie, note coming in from Billable Rick. In honor of my recent receipt of a commission and attending the Outlaw Country Festival on October 21st at the Hollywood Bowl, featuring Willie Nelson, Lucas Nelson, and Promise of the Real, Phil Lesh and Friends, and Sturgill Simpson, I'd like to make Billable Rick's Outlaw Commission Challenge. I'll plunk down $25 and double it to $50 once my $25 challenge is met. Cool. And that would be $75, and that would take us down to $225 to go. And that would be fan-freaking-tastic. So Billable Rick's Outlaw Commission Challenge is on the table. Okie dokie. So it is about 5 before the hour. And we'll be connecting to the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable in short order. I'm sitting here waiting for it to happen. Working. Randy points out that, as is the case with many of those filthy Republican ads, a lot of them trace back, apparently Randy Rhodes talked about it, a lot of those trace back to, lo and behold, an organization led by who? Well, yeah. Paul Ryan. You know, because he's a man of principles and honor, and he's a policy wonk, and he just wants to help America. Well, certain parts of America. A significant minority in America. Filthy rich people. Oh, that's funny. Randy and PA. All the stupid people, where do they all come from? All the stupid people, where do they all belong? Eleanor Rigby. Obviously in the GOP, Randy. In the GOP. Well, let's run over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and check in with Sparky on this birthday afternoon. Hey, Sparky.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. How's the beer and the bud and the birthday fun going?
And the salsa.
And the salsa. Can't leave out the salsa.
And shredded beef tacos.
Whoa. Now you're getting serious.
And a sleepy dog behind me.
Oh, is Grady the shop dog all napped out?
Yeah, he's up on the table, just kicking back. I ran him a while ago, chasing the ball. I didn't want to tell you yesterday, but the lizard didn't make it.
I kind of figured it didn't.
It was only a little lizard. He caught it right off the bat.
Was it one of those little skinks? Was it one of those little skinks?
I don't know.
Little blue tail?
Probably one of the kind of lizards we have around here. Just a little itty bitty guy. He stepped on it. He was all done.
The question is, did he consume it?
No.
Good. That's what I really didn't want to happen.
No, he only consumes gophers.
Oh, Grady has a taste for gophers.
I never told you that story.
I don't think so.
He was out there digging away in the garden area. I don't know how long ago it was. But I walked over there, and here's a dead gopher or mole laying there. It's all covered with slobber and stuff. I went to get a shovel, and then when I come back, all I saw was the tail going down his throat.
Nice. Did it stay down?
I think so.
That's the important part.
He didn't throw up or anything.
That's the important part.
But I wanted to tell you, I kept my record today. I've gone since 1972, and I've never voted for a Republican. But I did one race. I did vote against Dianne Feinstein because there's another Democrat in the race.
Right. Yeah.
So he was recommended by the California Labor Fed, which I usually check to, because I can't figure out all these propositions. Ever since I've been a union organizer and president of the local union, I've always used the California Labor Fed for propositions. It just helps me.
Yeah, well, and a lot of times the skeevier the proposition is, the more confusingly it's worded.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's all I've been getting in the mailbox the last few days. Yes, vote no on this, vote yes on that. And there's like 12 or 13 of them, and one of them was removed. I think it was that divide the state thing.
Oh, really? That's on the ballot?
No, it was removed. It had a number.
Oh.
So they put on the ballot, was removed by court order.
Oh, okay.
was removed because it was ignorant.
Well, I get mail. I'm permanent mail-in ballot guy. I don't know what Rick does.
Yeah, I think it was deemed to be unconstitutional, Sparky, by the California Supreme Court.
Yeah, but do you mail in your ballot?
Oh, no, I always go to the poll. I'm kind of a traditionalist. I like that day of the election voting.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I used to do that just to get the I voted sticker, but now that we moved here and I had to take care of Mom and Dad for a few years, it was more convenient for me to just...
Well, like I said, now that I have to vote on a video game, the best I can hope for is a sticker that says I may or may not have voted.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
But Bob, I wanted to make sure, John and I were talking about it. He was asking me about Richard Ochieta. He's going to be, you're voting for him, right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I'm not going to shine anybody on.
Oh, come on.
He gives me a little case. He gives me the creeps. Let me just say that.
But he's better than the woman.
Oh, yeah. He's better. He's better than Carol Miller by orders of magnitude, because when she's been down in the legislature, every time an issue comes up, Carol Miller says, "Well, I'll have to take it to Jesus in prayer. I can't tell you how I'm going to vote till I take it to the Lord in prayer." And then, curiously enough, apparently, Jesus always tells her to vote the way the Republicans are voting, without fail. No, the slightly spooky part about Richard Ojeda is the fact that he proudly voted for Donald Trump in 2016.
But he has some good points, like he helped lead the teacher strike, didn't he?
Was significantly involved in it. I'll say that. And he was strongly supportive of teachers getting a pay raise.
And the medical marijuana thing too.
He's at least in that bill wound up getting screwed up by, of course, you know, Republicans, Baptists, those types. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna vote for him. I hope I can trust him to stay who he is, or who he says he is.
Well, if he gets elected, you're gonna be one of the first ones in his office to get him to sign on to the ACAC.
Oh, he won't.
He won't.
No.
Why? I thought he was gonna save all the people from the drug overdoses.
No. Well, maybe, but. It was a year ago. It was at Bridge Day last year that I sat and tried to educate him on the science behind the health crisis here. And he nodded his head a lot and said, "Well, people got to have some kind of job." So, no, he won't. I don't. We'll talk to him. Absolutely. But if he wins, he'll want to stay in office, and therefore he will not be able to sign the bill. And that's a fact of life around here. So, I'm
both. Is this your Congress race you're talking about?
This is the third congressional district in West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
And
what's the cat's name? The Democrat?
Richard Ojeda.
Okay.
O-J-E-D-A.
Okay.
First time in my life I got to vote for a woman for my congressional district.
God, wouldn't it be nice if she could win?
Who's the incumbent in your district, Sparky?
Doug LaMalfa.
Oh, okay.
Is he in any kind of trouble?
I don't know. I started to watch debate thing he and Aubrey Denny had in Anderson from the woman's voter thing, but I can't listen to the guy. I mean, I've listened to his town halls and I wanted to strangle him. I love the one he did in Nevada.
Figuratively.
I love the one they did. He did in Nevada City. I mean, Nevada City is a Democratic stronghold, and they were just all over him. And he basically stopped doing town halls after that one.
So I'm hoping that my congressman will become the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee if the Democrats can retake the House. Adam Schiff.
Oh, okay.
And I'm hoping that Devin Nunes dirtbag is ousted, but I rather doubt it. I don't know.
Yeah,
the war he's got going with the Fresno Bee may have an effect.
Really?
I was fixing to say, I think I've heard that he wasn't doing too good.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
Well, you know, there's that old saying out there, and it should be taken to heart. Never start a war with a man who buys ink by the barrel.
There you go.
Well, the Fresno Bee endorsed him for every time he's run ever before, and this time around, they said, ain't no way.
Hmm. Well, good for them. The Fresno Bee is, I guess, must be fairly conservative, huh?
Well, probably, because, I mean, I don't know if they're part of a McClatchy News service or what. Or
okay.
Probably the same company that owns the Sacramento Bee.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, John.
Well, my man, Eric O'Gain, is trying his best to get some kind of conversation going on with Michael Cloud, who won on the special election in my Congress, but it can't get him to a damn debate. The man just avoids him like the plague.
Well, I mean, are you surprised? You see what happens when Republicans debate? Jesus Christ.
I know.
Is that John Bredevoe I hear?
That's
me, Ballard. I'm sorry I was here, and then all of a sudden I lost my connection, and boom. And then I come back, and Bob was saying, well,
you've rematerialized, John.
Yeah, at the wrong moments, I always like, what the hell is everybody talking about? I have to sit here and be real quiet for a minute.
So is there a consensus that Beto mopped the floor with Rafi Alito again?
Yes, he did. Well, did you see him in his little town hall meeting last night on CNN?
Oh, man, I saw that this morning on demand, John.
Oh, it was just wonderful.
I was swooning.
John, if you'd watched CNN, you would have thought he really made a big mistake because he referred to Ted as Lion Ted, and walked that back.
Well, I'm going to tell you why too, because if you go to listen to Beto O'Rourke, when you go to listen to one of his rallies, mm-hmm. he's not talking about bad mouthing Ted Cruz. He has not said it. He doesn't run his campaign on negative shit about his opponent. We all know who Lion Ted Cruz is, and he's been under a lot of pressure to call him out for that, and some people wish he would, but if you look, it's not in his nature. He's trying to. That's what's so heartbreaking about this. This man is trying to do it the way it should be done, with no PAC money, with no outside state help, by the residents of this state to support him. And he talks about the future, and he talks about what we should do and how it encompasses all of us. And then there's Ted coming out saying, well, Beto's all for MS-13 coming over and raping your mama. You know, it's that kind of shit.
I think that's kind of ridiculous, especially like he raised record amounts, and all you hear on the mainstream media is how he won't share with the DNC. God forbid he uses all that money on his own campaign that he raised himself.
Well, that question was brought to him at the CNN town hall by somebody.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a setup to me. Bragged about him how much he made, and then said, you know, well, some people say you won't share it. And he's right. When these people in Texas hand him a $10 bill or whatever the hell they give him, that's for him to win the state. And he should spend as much as he can right here, you know.
He's going to need it because Texas is not exactly known for its clean voter.
No. We are fighting one voter apathy. Well, why should I vote? It's gerrymandered. And it is gerrymandered. But we have right in my district, Corpus Christi has enough votes to negate the whole rest of the damn district if they come out and vote.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the gerrymandering doesn't affect the Senate race because it's a statewide affair.
Right.
So the Republicans have to rely on things like soft and hard voter suppression, the racist voter ID laws, things like that.
Oh,
that's how they win, baby. They cheat. That's the only way the Republicans can win is lie, cheat, and steal.
They
cheat. So what the hell
square,
is up
right?
with this CNN yes. polls putting Ted
right
Cruz 10
everybody.
Points ahead of Beto?
I don't believe
like
that
someone's,
shit.
Someone's straight up lying. I'm sorry.
How many points? How many points have they had?
They have him ahead by 7.
10.
Really.
Wow.
But I preach it all the time. I don't believe that shit. If you to go, you know, what is dickwad up there? I'm sorry. Trump has rented a Houston high school auditorium, holds 8,500 people for his rally Monday on with Ted.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, we're going to rent the biggest stadium in Texas. The biggest.
It's going to be huge.
And you know what? Huge. I was wrong. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and I asked, what's the biggest stadium in Texas? And we all kind of agreed that it had to be the Taj Mahjerry in Dallas, you know, the Jerry Jones Cowboys Stadium. Wrong.
I would think. Which one is it?
Kyle
oh,
Field.
Oh, yeah, that's
Kyle
right.
Field.
Somebody brought that up to me. It is. Kyle in Kyle, Texas. Ain't it?
Kyle Field in College Station.
College wow. Station.
Oh, that's where A&M plays, right? Okay.
Yeah. So, John, this is Chris. Are they playing that same game down in Texas with the exact match? Have you heard about this exact match?
They haven't done that here, but I'm afraid they're going to get the idea from Georgia. They haven't done that here. They've closed like 400 and something polling places here in Texas. It's that kind of shit or trying to, you know, I don't understand this shit here in Texas. It's just a bunch of bullshit. I have to go through hoops and all that to get a voter registration. I have to register to vote. Get your little registration card there. You're a registered voter. Ain't nobody ever asked me for my damn voter registration. They asked me for my driver's license.
That's for me too, up in here in
you
Delaware.
Now, one dirty trick that they're actively involved in, it's not the same as the exact match, but signature matching, you know, because when you go to the polls,
if it ain't just like your driver's license or other,
if it's just, if it's not just exactly like the signature on your voter registration and just like the signature from the year before and the year before that, they can throw throw your vote out, and you don't even know it.
So Marvelline's got to be a signature expert.
Well, you heard what they did up there
in
Prairie Field.
God forbid they use the digital pen stuff where you sign with your fingertips now, like what they're doing in stores and stuff, because then really screw it
I'm
up.
I'm ready to dip my finger in
you
some
can't paint. Sign your name with that pen. That's ridiculous. No. Well, you know, by
not
the
even,
standard.
You know, sometimes they don't even have a pen. You have to use your fingertip. And my handwriting's not exactly neat to begin with. It tries to be signing that crap. It looks like Egyptian hieroglyphics. Forget
well,
it.
You know, by the standards of, you know, let's say JFK, I understand, had like 65 different ways he signed his name. So he would never have been able to vote in today's world, you know, if that were the standard.
I'd say go to fingerprint recognition, but that might see some people screaming.
They can, depending on the geographical area. In Georgia, they're doing the exact match. It doesn't help that Brian Kemp is the, you know, state guy.
Yeah, this thing in Georgia is just crazy. What the hell is that?
Lexington. Hey, let me bring. I'm not sure who's got Colorado on the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
That would be me. Hello, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Bill McKibben's going to be speaking here tomorrow morning here in Colorado Springs. I got a call from Food and Water Watch the other day asking to send it on to you. And then I get a call today telling me Bill McKibben's going to be speaking here tomorrow on behalf of Proposition 112, which essentially is a... proposition against the oil industry, making the setbacks, another doubling the setbacks.
Yeah, in fact, the guy that you talked to on the phone, you gave him my email, and he turned around and wrote to me just minutes afterward.
Cool.
About the anti-fracking provision up there.
Yeah.
Oh, anti-fracking.
So, Kevin, are you in Tipton's district?
I don't think so. He's one of the districts here in Colorado Springs, but no, I'm not in his district per se. He's one of our representatives in this area, but no, I'm not in his district, or whatever you call, want to call it. District was good enough, but yeah. No, sadly, or happily, either way, I wouldn't vote for him. I mean, and Bob, let me tell you, the oil people are fighting this tooth and nail. The ads they run, purely fear-based, we're going to lose jobs, people are going to be out of work, people are going to can't pay their bills, they won't have, not only will we not have jobs, you won't be able to get health care because people will be out of jobs there, blah, blah, blah,
gloom
blah,
and doom.
Jesus.
Ain't it sad?
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
It's be very afraid. That's what they're telling you.
I'm already afraid. I don't need any more of that. Watching Man in the High Castle is becoming less of a problem in terms of fear than real life.
When less than 1% of what you're saying in those ads is true, more like 0.999% isn't true, and yet it's got to be millions, if not billions, they're spending to defeat this measure. And then they put another measure on the ballot, I think it's Proposition 74 or something like that, where they can sue the state if Proposition 112 does get voted in. And, of course, the people from Food and Water Watch are fighting that tooth and nail, too, because we don't want the oil and gas companies suing the state over Proposition 112 if it gets in. We've so far survived any major fracking in this state. And these mountains are here for a reason. We're pretty stable as far as earthquakes go, but you start letting them do fracking on a major scale, guess what's going to happen? And it's already started to happen with minor earthquakes in the areas they're fracking. So it's very scary.
Welcome to Texas. They frack all over the place here. There's not a part of my state that hasn't been fracked. I know. You know, people don't realize the amount of water it takes to frack a well. And I mean to tell you, it takes millions and millions of gallons of water.
Well, John, I had the story just last night. The amount of water required for fracking is now outstripping all other uses, including human consumption, combined.
That's true. That's true. We had the issue down here. I mean, they're running lakes dry down here because people can sell their water. If you got a land, you got land, got a well on that land, you can sell that water, baby. You can suck that aquifer dry. And that's what they're doing. You know, and the old Halliburton rule that Dick Cheney put in, you know, about the proprietary rights of the formula, the crap they pump down there to keep that
yeah, Cheney's blood.
The cracks open. Yes.
Blood. Yeah.
You know, it's disgusting the scale. Because I've been on many a frack job. I have been on many a frack job, and that's all you see is water tanks lined up all over the place, high pressure pumps going, and you wouldn't believe the shaking and rattling of those pipes under pressure, forcing that solution down in there. It's a scary place to be on a location when it's going on. And you know, down here in Texas, that's the big thing. It's like Bob has to face coal in West Virginia. Baby, it's oil and gas down here, you know. And they're going to suck it out regardless of what you say. That's how come they're willing to send millions and billions or whatever it takes to get the job done, because that's what that oil and gas is worth. And that's how come we have such a big fight with Russia. They got a lot of that shit up there they want to get out, you know.
So let me ask you a question. I mean, why is it so easy to scare all Republican voters about, oh, you're going to lose your job because of, you know, going to renewable energy and this and that, but they're not scared about being poisoned. They're not, you know, they're not scared about their kids having no place to live or their grandkids. Why is it so easy to scare him with just the jobs thing and not?
Well, it's kind of like the old, from time to time I cite the three commandments of W.C. Fields. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And don't smarten up a chump. Well, the first one of those, you can't cheat an honest man, is a rather profound statement. And
it is.
You can't run a Nigerian widow scam on somebody who doesn't think that they can get something for nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that because you can scare a Republican with ISIS MS-13, New Black Panther Party, waves of Mexicans coming to take your job.
Or the big one, Bob. The big one. They're coming to get your guns.
And they're coming to get your guns and make you have an abortion, buddy.
They're going to force you.
You can do all those things with a Republican voter because all of those things play into and take advantage of an essential bigotry, a pre-existing prejudice. And so they're just all these Republicans are doing is leveraging what's already there. On the other hand, getting poisoned. Well, we're all getting poisoned. What the hell?
Yeah, we're all going to die anyway, you know.
I mean, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And then Jesus is going to come back and fix the world.
Yes, yes. What the Republicans do is what I call a self-fake patriotism, because it's easy to do. You can do it with a bumper sticker. You can do it with a flag. You can do it with a Bible. You can just convince them, we support the troops, baby. Well, who's going to argue against that? Is there anybody over in the left saying, no, we don't give a shit about them? No. But that's what they sell. It's American. It's stand up for your country. Be proud of them. Well, baby, back up and take a look at the American values that you're espousing, you believe in. If you're a patriot, you're a patriot for every one of us in this country. You know, if you believe that Constitution that they hold, we're constitutionalists, then read the goddamn thing. Because it says we the people, all of us. You know, there's no asterisk there. There's no disclaimer there. There's no qualifier next to that.
Yeah, they totally ignore the clause of general welfare, right? That's completely ignored, right? No, Scalia said what it was frivolous.
It's your own welfare. That's what the problem is in this country. There's too much welfare. They're all on welfare. Yeah, that's what they'll go into a rant, baby.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
They will go off the deep end real quick. Yeah, I was wearing my Beto shirt to the other day. This guy, I stopped to get gas here. Wouldn't pay for it and all that stuff. This old boy walked up, had an army jacket on. He poked me. You voting for that guy? Yes, sir, I am. Well, I don't know if I could trust him. I said, well, buddy, I said,
what the hell?
In a lot of his rallies, you need to go, buddy, because he's speaking the truth out there. And then he said something. Well, do you own a gun? Oh, there you go. There was the issue for him.
Got a house full, buddy.
Oh, Lord. He'll give up his job and health care and everything else, but God forbid, don't take his gun.
Service in this industry. Yes, I'm a gun over, but I'm not stupid enough to believe that that's the one thing they sell every election. They're coming to get your gun. That's what it is. They all want your gun. And it just feeds that ignorance. And I don't know. Shit, I'm like Bob. I get frustrated thinking about all the crap. You want to just call them ignorant, stupid. And that they just don't have enough sense to pull up their boots. But the fact of the matter is they've just fallen for a con job, a right-out con job. And I don't know how many more things, red flags can go up. What's that, Pat Robertson? Well, one man's life isn't worth all. You're talking to the evangelical preacher and he says that shit? Then don't tell me Jesus died on the cross for everybody. That's just one man. You know?
Yeah, but John, in that bubble world of theirs, ignorance is a virtue.
It is because they don't investigate the facts. They don't go to look up the issues.
They have no interest in them, John.
Hey, I'm a biker. I'm a patriot. Look at my back. That's it. They don't know what the issues are, what's going in front of Congress, what he's doing. He's just an asshole, and they love assholes right now because they want to shove it in the face of Obama. I'm sorry, but I've always said the reason this man was elected by the overwhelming hatred that the right manufactured everybody from Rush Lip Dick all the way up to Fox News and all them other crap pieces of fake patriotism shit that they did for 8 years against that man and stoked that hatred. That's what got Trump elected. That yes. hatred, that meanness that they weren't going to, I'm tired of a black man. I want a white guy in there that's just going to throw the finger in your face.
Yeah, Van Jones on CNN described it in the immediate aftermath of the 2016 election as white lash. It was entirely a racist response to 8 years of having the man that John McCain referred to as that one. Okay, why am I echoing?
It stokes, and a lot of just, I don't know, I call them cockroaches. I don't know what else name for them. You crawl around with your little rebel flag there, with your little Nazi flag? What kind of America does that shit? Don't tell me you stand up for American values.
They're clinging to some outdated notion that they're scared to death to let go of. And even to this week when I was canvassing and doing phone banking for my state senator this week, when I was canvassing, there was this guy presumably that's helping, the Democratic Party here in my state. He literally gave me a litany about how, he's not sexist and, he grew up in a matriarchy and his sister and his sisters and his mother are all educated, but they voted for Trump because they just couldn't stand Hillary. And he hopes that they don't elect a female leader next time because the country's just not ready for it. And he admitted to a double standard and all this other mess. And I'm sitting here like, I just reached a point where I just stopped speaking to him because I tried to tell him, I was like, look, first of all, if you voted for Trump, then you're to blame for what the hell we're dealing with right now. Okay. Why are you helping us along? Number one. Number two, don't sit there and tell me, in the Democratic Party, sit there and tell me, country's not ready for it. So you're basically saying that we have to sit there and coddle the country's emotional insecurities and bullshit. And
I'm ready for it, baby.
This smacked back to the whole racial integration of schools issue. And I'm pretty sure there are plenty of white liberals that were like, we're not ready for racial integration. We got to wait. The country's not ready for it. And I'm like, well, you know what? At some point you just say, fuck it. And country's got to move on. I'm sorry.
Jump into the deep end of the pool, enough. Yeah.
Well, that's what they mounted that attack on Hillary. They knew she was going to be the one to be running. They used Benghazi against her for a year. The same bullshit that they tried to transfer everything that Obama did right onto Hillary and create that hate for her. And hell, it was in Montana last night chanting lock her up. He loves that shit.
25
Well, if it's not against Hillary, it's against Nancy Pelosi. It's against Kamala Harris. It's against Diane Feinstein. I'm like, I would like to have an objective discussion about their policies and their stances, but I feel like I can't even do that anymore. It's gone right out the window.
Because you say, I'm worried about the deficit. And they say, MAGA, MAGA, Nancy Pelosi, demon MAGA.
Yeah. That's it.
Here's a deficit.
Well, it goes right back to that conversation with that guy. There's no female that's going to be perfect enough. And I sat there and I said, well, every guy that served in the government from the founding of our country was imperfect. And he admitted, but they get a pass with that. I'm like, okay. But let's not elect a female leader because the country's not ready for it. Okay.
For what?
Well, Laurel just offered us a trenchant little observation. Having the truth on your side is only an asset if the other side cares about the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I just got a note from Kitty in Boston. And Kitty said, I wonder if you could please give a shout out and a cowbell to the men and women of Local 26 Massachusetts and Rhode Island Hotel and Food Service Workers Union. I damn sure can.
Oh, yeah.
Big cowbell.
100% union, baby.
They've been striking at Marriott properties for the last 17 days. I was near the Copley Square Marriott this morning, where folks were picketing, banging drums, and being loud and proud. I decided to stop over to express my support. As I was crossing the street, I overheard two 20-something girls making remarks about the picketers. One was a prissy-looking blonde that I'll call Muffy. Muffy scoffed.
God.
Yeah, you know, it's about free speech, as in the freedom to do dumb crap out in the cold. Ha, 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 ha. It's a little hard for me to talk right now, Bob, because I bit my tongue bloody. I wanted to call this you-know-what out, but just went over and chatted with a striker instead. There were a lot of women on that line, and the idea that women should support other women's efforts to empower themselves was no doubt lost on precious Muffy. Later on, I pitched in a few bucks for the strike fund. People fighting for their lives isn't dumb crap. Thanks, and have a great weekend, everyone, says Kitty. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend, too, Kitty, and definitely big respect to the men and women of Local 26 of the Massachusetts and Rhode Island Hotel and Food Service Workers Union. Big, big respect indeed.
Willing to stand up for those, even those that don't follow them. That union works for everybody.
Yep.
It works, you know.
Speaking of strikes,
yes.
People that order marijuana online in Canada are going to be screwed because the Canadian postal workers are going to talk about going on strike.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Bus are running out of marijuana.
Yeah. Bust my ball. I wait for them northerners to come down there. They smell a little bit better.
I like that story. Bob, did you read that story I posted on your page about Mars?
Yeah. I laughed my ass off.
Are we headed to Mars?
It reminded me of your old video, Mars Needs
Republicans. That's the first thing I thought of was Mars Needs Republicans. Let's see. Experts say vast deserts, absence of life, may indicate Mars was once run by conservatives.
Yeah, there you go. That's about right.
Oh, God.
That's about right.
Let's see.
We're just having a toasty time in America, I'm telling you, buddy.
Oh, we are. And we've still got Rick's Outlaw Commission Challenge on the table. A $25 challenge. When that's answered, Rick will pony up another $25, and that'll get us way down under the $300 mark. So hopefully that'll happen, and we'll get the bills paid and be on the air Monday night. That's a big thing.
You have some viewers in Australia, don't you? Some listeners in Australia.
Oh yes, we got friends in Oz.
I got a package today from Australia.
Ah, did you now?
Yes, sir. Yay, mate. I sure did.
Yeah, that's old Crooked Al Kincaid.
I got an Australian flag, an Australian calendar, some Australian koozies, and a bottle opener for my beer on Friday. Yeah, and a nice letter.
Oh, fun.
Yes.
You know, last winter, I absolutely adore Ugg boots because I can't stand having cold feet. And that shearling liner in there is just the most comfortable thing my feet have ever been in. And my first pair that I wore for 6 years finally gave up the ghost last winter. And I ordered a new pair, and instead and I wanted to actually get an Australian pair of Uggs because, you know, they invented them.
Right.
And so instead of buying Uggs that were made by a California company in China, I went online and I found a genuine Australian Ugg boot company. And it just got cold enough this past week for me to put them on the first time. And they are wonderful.
Wow.
By the way, Robert in Australia just wrote in, John, and said, all made in your Australian flag and your belt. And he goes, all made in China?
I don't want to say it. My wife did. She pulled the flag out. I said, all right, an Australian flag. And she looked at it. She said, it's made in China. And I said, well, what the hell ain't made in China?
Robert knew it. Robert knew it right off the bat.
Well, you know, I'm proud to have it at what it represents. And Marge, the young lady that sent it from New South Wales. Doggone, I don't have the thing in here with me, but I remember it was in New South Wales, Australia, and she said some very nice things about me in her letter. A bunch of bullshit, you know, but it sounded real good.
Yeah, in other words, complimentary stuff about you.
You receive compliments
about as well as I do.
Yeah, I believe it all.
We've got a running.
I walk down here and look out, there ain't a soul around from nowhere.
Yeah, which reminds me, the flooding that's been going on, has that had any effect on you?
Driving me nuts. Not yet. Right before I came on the program, I was a few minutes late because right when I was fixing to come in here, the local news was giving me the updates on the river, what they say. Now, I look it up on my computer. I can look at the gauges up and down my river all the way from the beginning of the up there, way up out west Texas. And it ain't looking good. They're dumping water out of my lake. Now, they've had it up to 22 feet, and they've left it there for, a week and a half now, I guess. And they dropped it about a foot today. I don't like that. I don't even like them dropping it a foot right now. Let's keep that shit going. 22 feet is fine with me. But I'm looking upriver, and all the gauges are going into major flooding, big time water, and we're still looking at rain all this week. So I'm not flooded yet. Am I going to flood? You bet your ass I am. Yeah. I just knew it. Well, they keep dumping that water out of that lake, but I'm looking at the amount of water coming down that river, and baby, it's bad up north, you know, where the river.
I saw some absolutely breathtaking footage.
Oh, Jesus! It's just, you know, and all that water's coming down here, and my dam, they can't keep that thing up to where it was supposed to hold water at because it's got a bulging dam, so they have to keep the pressure off the dam. They have to keep it at around 94 feet. And they're dumping water, and I'm not flooded yet, but there's not a time I drive out of my road down here and stop at a little spot right down by the mailboxes that is the lowest spot. That's where we're going to get cut off there before anything. So I watch that, how far it is from the road to that water every time I leave now, because we get cut off. That's what will happen first. We'll get cut off. The problem with our kind of flooding down here, Bob, is if it keeps raining, then the flood lasts for a month. You know, my house is on stilts. There's a lot of work to do. We'll get some kind of damage of something.
How high above sea level are you?
About 30 feet. I'm about 32 foot above sea level here. And that's when I get water under my house is when the river rises to about, 28 feet. I got water right lapping coming up ready to go at 30 feet. I got water under the house, and the only way in and out for a month is by boat, if you get your boat motor running.
Well, I was gonna say
is the motor
in decent shape?
Oh no, I'm cranking on it. It's just, that's a bad story, Bob. Let's don't talk about it.
Okay,
that.
We won't go there.
Shoulder's just getting over the damn tire with the lawnmower shit. So, no,
if it wasn't for bad luck, you'd have none at all.
Not at all, baby. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no. Yeah.
I almost feel like we're kin folks, John.
I swear. I see you cooking. I feel like coming up your way.
I wish there was some way, I could get some of this down to you, and that we could say, you know, certified edible by a genuine Texan. Of this chili that I've made.
You're making chili?
From scratch, baby.
That's the way to go. People don't, you know, recognize they used to have that thing, joy of cooking. The joy of cooking. You know, and
it's chemistry you can eat.
It's your niche, you know, what you make it.
Hey, Bob, I did the recipe that you put out on the air, I don't know, maybe a few months ago. And it turned out spectacular.
Oh, the cheater's chili?
Yeah, the cheater's chili. It worked out great. It was so good and so easy to make and so quick.
Yeah, it's bang, 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 done. This chili is not that.
Yeah,
this
I know.
This chili is days in the making. You know, a day on the smoker. John, there's no ground beef in it. It's got brisket.
There you go. It's meat. There's a good base for chili right there. Because a lot of people just use
it. And, you know, hickory smoked it, so it carries that smoke flavor into the chili.
You ever heard of Terlingua?
I have, in fact.
Well, you ought to just gather up that chili and head over to Terlingua.
Oh, I know.
You know, there's some guy that's got a chili that he's naming a Blue Dot in Texas chili this year up there. He wrote me a letter, and he is in St. Croix, and he's entering the chili contest in Terlingua, Texas. So,
damn, that would be fun to do.
I mean to tell you, I've never been there, and it's almost like it's sacrilegious. I ain't been to Terlingua. It's sort of like a thing for every Texan, and I ain't been there.
It's a pilgrimage. It's like living in New Mexico and never going to Hatch.
If you're going to Terlingua, you're going there. You're not going anywhere else. To get to Terlingua is a hell of a journey. So,
hey John, where's the best Texas barbecue in Texas?
Well, there you go. What are you trying to start a fight?
Austin,
it depends on whose house you're at. But
Austin, oh, nice. The best barbecue in Texas happens in people's backyards, right, John?
Baby, it is. And I'm sure it is the same way in West Virginia and anywhere else. The best barbecues I've ever had there's a place down here in Corpus. It's called Cotton's Barbecue. And by far, we've had presidents eat there. I say did because the place burnt down not long ago, and it was pitiful because it had been there since, I think, the 1920s. And it was known all over the place, Cotton's Barbecue. It burnt down. Now but they're new places, and they're doing fine. You know, I guess the food is still the same. But the best barbecues I've ever had, usually been in somebody's yard.
Well, on my one lone trip to Texas several years ago now, I was taken by my good friend Dr. Allen, just down the road from Waco a piece, to Belton, Texas.
I've been to Belton.
And there's a place there called Miller's Smokehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean they started out and you can. Who's crunching?
I heard that.
They started out as a place where people would bring their game that they had hunted and killed for processing. And they expanded into brisket and making their own sausage. And whoo!
That's my weakness.
It was some kind of good.
Venison pork sausage? Oh, baby.
I had it while I was there, and it was pure magic.
I love it.
It had cheddar cheese and jalapenos in it too.
There you go. Jalapenos.
Hey, while we're on the subject, right. Got a quick question. My religion's got a holiday called Samhain coming up, and pork is. I'd like to ask everyone for pork recipes that they like to share.
Oh Lord. Man.
Oh, that's a big old door you can drive a tractor trailer through.
Pulled pork? What are you thinking, Megan?
Usually, what we tried before was a slab of pork loin, and you cut little slits in the meat. You put in garlic slivers, and you cook it with rosemary.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, but I didn't know if anyone else had an idea for something different.
No.
The thing about pork loins, I mean, I love them, but they're not particularly fatty, so that you can dry them out in a second.
Oh.
So
what, cook them in a marinade or would be keeping it moist?
Braise it, yeah. One way I like to do a pork loin is, I mean, I like them. It's not my favorite cut of pig.
Okay. Okay.
But you get the whole loin and you cut a pocket in it. Okay.
Okay.
Lengthwise. And you stuff that pocket with sliced apples and onions and juniper berries. You got to get some juniper berries. You know, juniper is what gives gin that pine tree taste.
Ooh.
But you stuff it with that, and then you get some coarse kosher salt. Takes a good bit for a whole pork loin.
Okay.
But you mix a couple of boxes of coarse kosher salt. You pour it out on like a big baking sheet, and you take egg whites, and you know, no yolk, just the egg white, and you pour the egg white into the salt and make a kind of a paste of it.
Okay.
And oil the outside of the pork loin. After you've
with
stuffed
what,
it,
olive oil.
Preferably something that's that doesn't smoke. Like a canola or a peanut.
Okay.
And after you stuff the pork loin and everything, you start taking that salt mix, the salt and the egg white, and you pack it around until you've encrusted, entombed, if you will, the pork loin inside the salt crust.
Jesus, Bob, you're killing me.
And then,
that's killing me, Bob.
And then you roast it at about 275, 300. And that salt crust will retain the heat and it'll retain the moisture. And then when it's done, you don't eat it. When it's done, you take it out and you use like the handle of a screwdriver or something, wooden spoon, and you smack it and that crust will fall off. And then you slice it and serve it.
Wow.
Damn,
wow.
So and, when do you want us there, Bob? When should we show up?
Just any old time. I'm into outdoor cooking, and I would far rather smoke a piece of pork. And for that, just a Boston butt or when I can get it, Boston butts are nice, but they're all trimmed up. If you can get an honest to God pork shoulder with the skin still on, and then soak that about a cup of kosher salt to a gallon of water, and takes about 2 gallons of water, 2 cups of salt, dissolve that, throw in about a half a can of, I'm giving away all my secrets here. It's not a secret.
Okay? Yeah.
Throw in about a half a can of pickling spice, with the allspice and the leaves and the mustard seeds and all that stuff.
Wow.
And soak it in that brine for about 2 days. And you can add other stuff. You can mince garlic and throw it in there. You can throw in onion. My particular favorite is to throw in some freshly crushed black pepper and some freshly crushed Szechuan peppercorns.
Wow.
That sounds wonderful. Here's another idea, Megan. Have you ever heard of barbacoa?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, that's...
But then again, I'm going to embarrass myself on the radio and say you're talking to someone that once set Pop-Tarts on fire in the toaster.
You ain't the only one, Megan.
Barbacoa?
What is barbacoa?
I'm right there with you.
Okay, good. I'm not alone.
The trick for the barbacoa is the banana leaves. So you get a big, big cut of pork, and I can't remember what. It could be the shoulder. I'm not exactly sure. But you get the big cut of pork. It almost looks like the same thing as a brisket. It's that size. It's big.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, I think it's the
down
one
down here in
get.
Texas when they make barbecue. You start going to the grocery store and buying what, the big old pig head.
Oh, jeez!
Oh, wow. Looking right at you.
Ooh,
that's,
yeah.
That's,
wow.
It's all that about, meat.
Bob was talking about the cheeks the other night. I remember.
Oh, hog jowl.
Yeah.
Hog
jowl. Wow. I see. We have a Latino Hispanic population up here. So I see a lot of that kind of food, like in the local stores and Walmart and stuff. And I also see shucked, like corn, the dried. It's like the actual corn sheaves, the dried.
Yeah, it's corn shucks. Like
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. They come in like pre-packaged.
Yeah, that's what you wrap your tamales in.
Ah, okay.
Now you want to talk about something that would be drop dead awesome. Shredded pork homemade tamales. Woo!
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah. I know John knows.
Very well, baby. That's, you know, I like fajitas. You can have pork fajitas, chicken fajitas, beef fajitas, whatever fajitas you want. But pork fajitas, we like to do them up on a skillet, barbecue skillet, with peppers, red peppers, green peppers, onions. Toss it all in there.
Hey, Bob.
To you, laid out with some pico de gallo.
Yeah.
Bob, rumor has it you're manning the grill at Malloy's book signing. Is there any truth to that?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
I'll be there, man.
Where's
that being held?
Not far from me.
what I'm planning on doing is I'll do up some shoulders up here, and maybe a few racks of ribs, and transport it and bring my little portable gas grill with me so we can heat it up and everything. But yeah, we'll have pulled pork and ribs.
Oh, well, how would you do a pork chop, Bob? Now you got me curious.
How would I do a pork chop?
Yeah, because they're usually dry and tough.
You know, there's, and this is so 1960s, 1970s, middle America. There ain't no better way to do a plain old pork chop out of the grocery store than shake and bake pork chops.
I knew you were gonna say that because they are really good.
God, I love them.
My wife will bake them. She will not fry pork chops.
They're always perfect too. I wholeheartedly agree. You can't screw it up.
Yeah.
And they dry out again because of the way the fat is on them. Yeah. And that's what makes it so easy to screw up a pork loin too.
Because
they dry out quickly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a chicken breast. You have to, like, just find the amount of time to cook it that you have to get that threshold where it's just done but not dry.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was lucky a couple times. I always do it on 350 in my oven, but I was lucky it was, like, just short of an hour if it's frozen. But it depends on what you're cooking it in as well.
But, I mean, shake and bake pork chops are one of my favorite damn things in the world. Mm. Give me.
That the pre-breadcrumbs that you just kind of like bounce the
you,
chop
yeah,
in?
You throw the chop in the bag with the stuff and you take it out and you put it on a baking sheet and stick it in the oven and walk away.
My son's girlfriend.
Sounds like how you do fried chicken. But somebody showed me how to do that with cornflakes.
Well, shake and bake started out with, you know, as for chicken. And then they moved into pork chops.
Oh,
it's shake and bake, and I help.
That's exactly where I was going. And I help.
And I help. Oh, Lordy.
Hey, Bob, I was thinking about something when you were talking about the owner of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Charles Johnson.
Charles Johnson. You were talking about Marc Schott. The other guy that I was thinking of is the owner of the Clippers. Remember that whole mess?
Yep.
What was that guy's name? Anyone remember? Rick should know. Rick, you know what I'm talking about? Rick, you're on mute?
Uh-oh.
Maybe he's working.
I can't. You remember that?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Hey, he went to a concert. Rick went to a concert. He'll be back.
No.
Well,
no,
did you hear earlier, John? He's going to see Willie on the 21st.
Are you getting me?
Oh, I'm jealous now.
At the Hollywood Bowl.
There you go.
Part of the challenge.
You better YouTube that, Rick.
Festival.
There you go. You'll love it. Willie puts on a good show.
I've never seen him. I've always wanted to. So.
Well, when you see him, baby, you're looking at an icon of Texas. There ain't nothing more Texas.
Hell, America, John.
Huh?
Not just Texas, the whole country.
Yes.
American treasure, like Tom Petty was, you know?
Yes, he is.
Uh-oh. Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
That is not a good thing, Bob.
Oh, no. Willie. Oh, no.
Yeah, I saw Tom Petty, and he was dead.
That is not me.
7 days later.
With Willie again. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rick, do you remember the name of the racist Clippers owner?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think of his name. I couldn't remember it. And he got he was forced to sell the team. He did
Donald Sterling.
Oh, okay, right, right. Well, Bob, that's exactly, the NBA owners all forced him out.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Yeah. I got somebody I want to force out.
Hey, Rick, I can happily announce that your Outlaw Commission challenge has been met.
Oh, good. I was afraid it wasn't, man. We need the horn.
Yes, sir.
Charlene jumped in and met it, so that takes us down to what, 225? And Gary in Texas just took us down to 175.
Outstanding, Gary.
And so,
hello.
We've got a fighting chance going on here.
Oh, that's great.
Good deal. Excuse me.
That's weird. You know, while I was talking to you guys, Skype just rang, and I think our buddy Scott was calling.
Yeah,
and Nathan
was ringing
on the line as well.
This is weird. So I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
It's like I was kicked into another call.
It's started, Rick. You just got a message from Darlene in Connecticut. Willie Nelson? Rick, you know how old he is, right?
I do know, yeah.
Don't inadvertently kill him, Rick.
Don't do that, Rick.
Well, actually, I'm sitting up in the nosebleed seat, so I don't think my powers will be able to reach
him. No,
stage.
I don't care. I think,
does that mean you'll be able to have a video camera going the whole time, Rick?
Maybe.
Tape for the rest of us.
No, I think.
Well, you know, this is the funny thing, Megan. I've already used up all of the data on my home computer, almost a full terabyte, with just mostly videos of the concerts
I
got to the last couple of few years.
Listen to him.
What?
So I've got to figure out.
Somebody get a rope.
All I do is put them on thumb
drive. You need an external storage unit
you
can
external
move that
hard
to.
Drive, something like that. Yeah.
What he needs is a chauffeur.
Yeah.
Named John.
Yeah, well.
Who'd just as soon get away from home and the flooding for a little bit, right?
I mean to tell you, I'm a good driver, baby. Never had an accident in my life.
Hey, Rick, if anything happens to Willie, we're sending Tracy down to your house and fitting you with a home confinement ankle bracelet. Yeah.
Tracy's in Atlanta.
So,
oh my God.
Oh, is she? Yeah. Oh, that's right. She was, yeah.
Because I want to hear her go full fury on that.
We need to set the parameters, though. Now, what's the rule? If he passes a month or longer after I see him, am I okay or not?
No,
what's
you're
the
not.
Statute of limitations here?
No, there's no statute.
He
no.
has to.
What?
We'll cut you some slack. He has to make it back to Texas.
Okay.
That's fair.
If he doesn't show up here, Rick, we're coming to your house, buddy.
Hey, I saw Willie at I didn't see him at Dodger Stadium, but I saw him photographed at Dodger Stadium during the last Dodgers game. He was enjoying the NLCS there against the Brew Crew. So that'll be a good game tonight.
I live here, and I've never had the opportunity to go see him. I've seen him on TV a lot and whatnot. I listen to just about everything he puts out. But Willie's not just a musician. He's
Willie's a national treasure and probably the de facto president for life of Texas.
Yep.
He's a conscience of the nation, know?
Yeah.
This era.
Who don't love Willie?
And you know, what a beautiful thing for Willie to be, for Willie to be in L.A. where he can blaze up and not worry about getting busted.
Yeah.
Everybody asked me, hey, John, why don't you just spark up on your show? Willie does it? Yeah, Willie's got lawyers.
Buku bucks.
Buku bucks, baby. John ain't got shit. Yeah. Sheriff over here knocking on my door. I seen your video there, John. We'd like to have talk to you. Yeah, no, I don't need that.
Rick. Officer, it's a stage prop. That was tobacco.
It's a stage prop. That's all that is.
Right.
Them were corn silks.
Corn silk.
Well, hell, defense, John, is you can say, hey, it's good if it's good enough for Elon Musk, it's good enough for me, right?
Right, that's right, that's right.
Mean, he sparked up on a webcast with,
I saw that.
I don't know if it was Adam Carolla or who it was exactly.
Yeah, I saw the flack over all that.
Bill Maher sparked up too, yeah, man, just lit up.
You might go over 10,000, John, on YouTube.
I'm up to 9,506, I think. Well, not that anybody's watching closely.
No, not that you check it, not that you check four or five times a day or anything.
I prefer to do it. My son did this for me, got me one of those Alexa things. So I just walk over to Alexa and say, hey, Alexa, ask TubeBuddy my current subscriber count. And she'll come up there and tell you. And then she'll tell you how many more that is since the last time you asked. Which is usually
Hey, John.
None yet.
I think what happens when you get to 10,000 or more followers, Agent Fred starts to monitor you.
Oh, is that right?
Tell you about that.
Uh-oh.
Some recent activity in my life kind of makes me think somebody's listening to me.
Yeah.
Hey, John has a bird named Fred.
Yes, I do.
Seriously.
I have a bird named Fred.
So Fred's been monitoring you from the beginning then, John, to be accurate, right?
He's another one of my advisors.
So back to the issue of barbecue in Texas for a minute. Our buddy Texas T just sent along a link. How to eat your way through Lockhart, the barbecue capital of Texas. And Texas T says, Kreutz Market, Lockhart, Texas. I ain't funnin'. I've heard of Kreutz Market.
I think they did on the roads of Texas, something Texas back roads, some show they had. I can't remember the name of it right now. I think they went to that restaurant one time. There are several restaurants, you know, in Texas for barbecue that are nationally known. None that I can think of right now, but you know, it's a Texas thing. Just like in West Virginia, that barbecue, or Kansas City.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. West Virginia, I think it has something to do with the fact that we've been depopulated so many times for various reasons, whether it's blowing up the mountains or industrial collapses, things like that. But we don't really have a barbecue culture here. People are kind of getting into one, but you know, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, you know, there's a barbecue joint on every corner.
Art form there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a visit from Tim Cormall. I'm on the Tim Cormall show. I believe I'll be on there this Sunday. He hails out of Washington, D.C., and he's got like 400 and something shows. He does one a week. So he's been on there for a long time. Well, he came down to see me. Actually, he came down to his family reunion down in South Texas. He called me up, and we got together, and he said, well, where do you want to go eat? And I said, well, shit, buddy, anywhere you want. You know, there's two big choices here, Mexican food or barbecue. What do you want? That was the two choices I gave him. Ended up, we didn't go to neither one of them. We ended up going to a Luby's cafeteria.
Luby's is great.
Luby's is great. It is a great place to eat. It's a cafeteria style thing, but you can get anything you want up there. And one of the members of his party had a stomach issue going on, so they got him some nice fish. You know.
I had a great visit with
Tim and everything, and you know, I enjoy meeting people that I've met over the air or one of our Blue Dot family members. That's always a joy. You know, for any of us.
Speaking of concerts, I've got an Iris DeMint story I'd like to tell.
Oh, please.
I realize, Bob, me and you are probably the only one in the Horn family that even ever heard. Everybody's heard her, but nobody's really heard of her, if that makes any sense. I'll be brief. But she was on stage. Of course, she's worked with John Prine a lot. And she had a heart-to-heart discussion with John Prine. And she's really serious when she's telling the story. She's worried about getting Alzheimer's. And she looked at John, and typical Prime answer. She looked at John, and she said, John, if we get this Alzheimer's, what are we going to do? John looked back at her and said, I guess we'll just forget about it.
Yep.
Typical Prime.
Oh, my God.
Cowbell for Iris, Bob.
Damn straight.
Right up there with Lewis Black's joke about the Starbucks across the street from each other in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a typical Prime
that
answer. You know,
What was it, Megan?
He said there was a Starbucks across the street from a Starbucks in Houston, and he says if you go there and you stand in between them, he goes, time stand still. And then he said, that the population there must have a large people of with Alzheimer's. And he says it's the only group that makes the joke make sense because it has to be someone that goes in, grabs a cup of Joe, gets up, looks across the street, and says, "Oh, look, a Starbucks. I need coffee."
And they're
gotta get the business. I'm almost embarrassed. I'm 65 years old. I've never been to a Starbucks. I don't know what that. Yeah, ain't that something in this day and age?
Oh, I got a funny story. It was not that long ago when Starbucks had their unicorn drink that everyone was they were selling out of, and I got there right in the nick of time to get one because everyone was making a big thing about it. And I go there, and I'm in the drive-thru. It's a rainy day, and I swear to God, there was a pickup truck with a Donald Trump, a Trump-Pence sticker, and Trump-Pence sticker, and then there was his tag said something like, "I am crazy" or something like that, and I just took a picture of it. Well, at least he's honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a bumper sticker story I could tell you all.
Oh God.
I was deposed yesterday in my high speed fender bender case where I was trying to back out of my driveway and accidentally struck a guy who was driving at a fairly high rate of speed down my little street in a Lyft vehicle. And nobody was hurt. There were no police report was made. He was fine. He had a Lyft passenger actually in the back seat, closest to the point of impact, you know, on the right rear passenger. And he was fine, but now he's claiming he's got like over $50,000 of, you know, injuries, and he tried to settle for the policy limits. He's just like 21-year-old punk, you know. And the thing about the stickers is this was right before the election in 2016, like October 12th. And, you know, I had like Trump stickers on the car. I got it from my buddy Scott. I think he posted it on the chat here, and I like printed it out. And it was the one with Donald Trump's like pompadour, you know, his, you know, blue and red. And it says Trump, because America needs more bluster, bullshit, and something else. And the attorney actually asked me, "Oh, are these anti-Trump stickers here on the car?" You know, and he was like pointing to the area where the impact occurred, or identified. You know, and it was just like little scuff marks. That's all it was to my car. Like maybe, you know, to repaint it would have been maybe $700-$800. Okay. That was the extent of the damage. There was no structural damage. And it was just a total nothing burger. And, you know, he said, you know, I said, "Well, you know, I'm not so sure if I'd say that's anti-Trump so much as just, you know, a cheeky sense of humor, you know,
pro-American."
Yeah. Yeah. You know, to use a British word, I would really call that more cheeky, you know? And then he persisted and said, "Well, don't you really think that's anti-Trump? What are you doing driving around in a car like that?" It's like, well,
oh,
dude,
my God.
I mean, I should have said, "Look, I got a First Amendment right." But I said, "Look, you know, I think my opinion of him is the same back then as it is now. And I think after 2 years of him as president, my opinions are validated as correct, you know?"
Yes.
And then in the back seat, I had a couple of red hats. And he said, "Oh, are those MAGA hats?" I said, "No, actually, they're make Donald Trump again hats."
Hey, Rick, Randy and PA just made a trenchant observation. Did anybody try to pull the black box out of the other guy's car?
The Lyft vehicle, you mean?
Yeah.
No, what we're going to do is we're going to subpoena Lyft to get the name of the passenger, the name and address of the passenger. There's a good chance he lives close to me. And, you know, I surmise that one of two things happened that caused the accident. I mean, I did not see the guy in my field of vision when I was backing up, you know? It was totally unexpected. So he must have been traveling at least 25, probably more like 30 miles an hour. And there's a stop sign real close to where I live. like just outside of just if you take.
So he
right
either ran it or gunned it.
He must. Yeah. He either gunned it, or he was looking at his Lyft map to see where his next ride was going to come from. One of those two things.
Hmm.
So it was either intentional on his part, and he's been in like two accidents since then. I think he's a guy that just wants.
Well, I mean, how old the car? Money. I mean, the thing is, you really should try to get the telemetry data out of it because it will give up what the speed at impact was.
Yeah.
You know, do Lyft vehicles have telemetry on it?
Oh yes, they all have them now.
Really?
Just about every if it's a newer vehicle, it's got one, buddy.
It was a brand new Hyundai Elantra.
Yep. You bet your ass it's got
damn
one.
Damn right it's got
and,
one.
You know, yep. And I mean, I had a, you know, I had like a 2004 Toyota Solara Camry. And, I mean, it didn't do any damage at all to my fender. It just caused like little scuff marks. But his car, I mean, the passenger side door, the front of the door from like the center of the door all the way to the passenger back was all like pushed in. And it was, but it still was only about $3,700 of damage to his car. And he's trying to gin this thing up into a major lawsuit. But yeah, I'll ask my attorney to get the black box.
Yeah,
that's information. A good idea. You know, my attorney told me going into it, look, you know, just stick to the facts. Don't, you know, I don't want you to like read the guy, the plaintiff's deposition before you go in. Well, all I want you to do is read the discovery to refresh your recollection as to what you've already signed, what you've attested to. Don't do any research. And he also told me about this, I guess, this thing that plaintiff's attorneys do. There's like something called a lizard book that they subscribe to. And the idea is they appeal to emotions, not to reason. And so the kind of questions they ask during depositions are, you know, these categorical types of questions like, you know, would you agree, you know, would you, you know, do you agree that you have never, you know, have... Do you always obey the speed laws? You know, would you agree that it's illegal to strike another vehicle?
Generic questions that just put you right in the fault. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. And so the approach is to say, look, you know, I guess it depends. If there's a child that's like, if I'm about to hit a child and, you know, if I keep going in the same direction, but if I, you know, decide to alter where my car is going and I hit a vehicle instead, I would say that that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
Because the idea is to try to get you pinned in. And I think the defense attorney or the plaintiff's attorney, you know, he said, okay, how many jury, he knew I was an attorney. And he said, okay, how many jury trials have you had? And I thought about it and said, well, I'd say about 8 to 12 or so. And he was like thinking, oh, shit. And then, you know, and then he said, have you read the report of the, medical examination of the plaintiff by, in this case, it was by a doctor, Dr. Rosen. Do you know who, you know, the UCLA quarterback Rosen? What's the guy's name? He's in the pros now.
Oh, wow.
He was a first-round pick.
Oh, yeah, this is the Cardinals.
He's starting for the Cardinals now.
And they got stomped by the Denver Broncos last night.
Yeah, this guy, I know, I heard about that. But this guy's like a world-renowned, back doctor, orthopedic doctor. And I said no. So I think he was hoping that I had, like, over-prepared for the deposition, like most attorneys do. And then he asked a question which almost caused the termination of the deposition. He said, now, do you admit or deny responsibility in this case? And that was a bullshit question because I'm a fact witness, okay? It really calls for a legal conclusion. You can't be asking a fact witness to opine about the law or the party's legal positions in the case. I said, well, I don't know. I didn't say I don't know right away. My attorney objected and said, calls for a conclusion. I'm going to instruct the witness not to answer. So this guy got up on a soapbox and, you know, said why he needed the answer to the question. And if it wasn't answered, he would terminate the deposition and move, file a motion for sanctions and all this bullshit. So I said, you know, I called a timeout with my attorney. We stepped out and, you know, we decided, okay, well, what we're going to do is I'm just going to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
So like,
which,
you know,
would
after,
be the truth, wouldn't it?
Which is true. I don't know. I mean, maybe he, you know, there is a thing called comparative fault, you know? And, you know, the thing is, what I think, as far as whether or not I'm responsible, that's irrelevant to whether I'm legally responsible, you know, the you know, because that's really to be determined at a trial.
Yeah, but if he could trick you up to say it.
Oh, that, I know.
Would,
I know.
That would go a long way.
Yeah. So I gave him an answer he couldn't use. So I think he was kind of frustrated by the fact that I did not let him, you know, I'll use a sexist term here, bitch slap me, we'll say. Okay.
Right.
You know, he was hoping he could, you know, kick my ass, and he wasn't able to.
Wow. We're good, Rick.
Frustrated, which is good.
One wrong word can sink ships, can it, Rick?
Oh God, yeah. It's such a game. Litigation.
Well, that,
so
yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the, that's one you, and that's one of, you used one of the best tactics in a deposition you can use, and that is never answer in a hurry.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
You know, take a two count after every question before you answer to give your own lawyer a chance to muddy things up real good.
Right. Right. Or make an objection.
And if you don't know, say I don't know. If the answer is yes, say yes. If the answer is no, say no. If it's I don't know, you say I don't know. And if you don't remember, say I don't remember. If you don't understand, for Christ's sake, say I don't understand.
Right. 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 Exactly. Exactly. Right. So. Yeah, he really didn't get very far, you know. And I mean, it's so stupid too, because it's such a nothing case, you know.
Well, I mean, I really think there's a lot of people
out there want that money.
I'll give the gold star to Randy and PA this evening, because the business with the black box is for real. And like, you know, come Monday, I'd be on the line with counsel and say, you know, get that damn thing, because the telemetry. It'll tell you everything you want to know, because among other things, since they started going in, and they've been going in for a while now, it's almost rock solid.
Every new vehicle has that black
box. Going back how far though? I mean, 8, 10 years?
I'm not sure how far.
Maybe
it's,
more?
It's been a few years, but I don't know how far back it goes.
Would it have gone back to the 2016 model year?
Oh, hell yeah.
Is this for every vehicle manufacturer?
Yes.
Not just the lift vehicle?
Yes. It's in your computer. Is it
possible to dismantle it anyway?
I don't know. I think there's a law like the odometer law that you can't mess with. You can't tamper. Yeah, it's against the law for you to tamper with it. If you're in an accident in a new vehicle nowadays, you might, whatever that is, just tell the truth, because they can get that information out of that vehicle. They'll know the direction, the speed,
the time.
You know, the time.
Dash cams are very valuable, admissible as well.
I carried one in my vehicle forever.
I made a comment there. I described the accident, what I said, and you know, I said I'm not exactly sure what I said, but I think I may have said, you know, are you okay? I'm sorry, you know, that kind of thing. Because, I mean, I did contact him.
Well, that's what every human
I mean,
are you okay?
If you're a good person, you would say, hey, are you okay? Yeah. I'm sorry, that kind of thing. And does that are you accepting responsibility? I don't know about that necessarily. I mean, he said hardly anything. And, you know, I noticed he had a passenger in the back seat. And it turned out because he had a lift thing in the front of his car. And the picture that I took, even though it was on the side of the vehicle where his vehicle was damaged on the right side, even though the windows were tinted, you could still make out the silhouette of a gentleman with glasses looking down at apparently his phone, holding his phone and looking, having his head down, looking at something. And he clearly was not injured, you know. And I said something like, yeah, boy, I sure would like to find out, you know, the name of that lift passenger. Which we're going to subpoena Lyft and, you know, get this.
Well, that passenger is probably suing Lyft under a guest passenger theory common carrier strict liability theory.
Well,
when
I doubt it.
When you say you're sorry, in that situation. Isn't that the equivalency of admission of guilt?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I get conflicting answers. Now, if you said, I'm sorry that this happened, no, but if you just put out a blank, I'm sorry, that could be construed against you, couldn't it?
That's what I heard.
I don't think so.
I was told, yeah, never say I'm sorry.
I don't know about that necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, and the thing that I made clear is he tried to use the word collision. What were you doing at the time of the collision?
Yep.
And I said, oh, do you mean the contact with the other vehicle? Because it was such a nothing thing. I mean, I was probably going no more than, you know, 3 to 5 miles an hour when I struck his vehicle. And maybe I displaced it by 3 to 4 feet, you know, knocking it over in, you know, towards the center of the road by 3 to 4 feet. And it kind of just bounced off of my car. It kind of bounced off of my car like a pool ball, you know, cause I kind of clipped him on the side and it kind of, you know, he kind of, his vehicle, I think, moved more than mine did.
And you were backing out, Rick?
I was just backing out from my driveway. My driveway has a 25 degree slope. And so at the very top of the driveway, which is where my vehicle was, you know, which is like on the apron of the roadway, you'd call it, probably not quite into the roadway.
Yeah, right.
You know, but you know, I had it parked on the apron.
I'd be fearful for the fact that if he's on the roadway, and then I mean, most laws, it's your responsibility to make sure no traffic is there before you enter the roadway.
Yeah.
That kind of shit is what they're going to hit you on. That, you know, and because of your vehicle. Yeah.
But I mean, the property damage is minimal because the insurance company has already paid his claim for property damage.
Yeah, no, okay. That's not where the money is. The money.
No,
is
he was yelling, "Oh my neck!" before contact.
Yeah, there you go.
Like 3 days after the accident, when he went and saw he's an Armenian gentleman. He went and saw his Armenian chiropractor. He got brilliant idea. Oh, geez, I could like make a lot of money off of this. Yeah. Oh, maybe I need to get an epidural here in the next week or so. You know.
Nobody can gin the file better than a dishonest chiropractor.
Exactly.
They'll have you in there 4 times a week for adjustments, X-rays. Right, yeah. Yeah, right.
They advertise on the TV here. I don't know if that's everywhere, but here, if you're
down
in the
rest, here,
you know, yeah. They you encourage know, it. Come see him. And
my wife jokes all the time. But you know that you can pick any number that you want down here in Texas. You could pick 3, you could put 4, 7, and just dial 777-7777.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna get a lawyer.
Well, you know the interesting thing is somehow
just remember the folders. You know,
before he sued me, he made a demand to the insurance company for the policy limits, and he somehow found out what the policy limits were. He probably called the insurance company because he had my card and my policy number, and either him or maybe someone else connected to the law firm that he initially hired probably impersonated me to say, hey, what's my, I forgot my policy limits for, you know, for personal injury for one accident, you know? and you know, so coincidentally, the pre-litigation demand came in at like, you know, $49,600, just $400 under the policy limit, you know?
Yeah.
And, and I contacted my insurance. I was in contact with my insurance company and I said, look, this is totally phony. This is a fraud. Let's fight this fucking thing, you know, because, you know, somebody's got to do it. You know, obviously, if he miraculously gets a judgment greater than 50, then I'm on the hook for whatever the difference is, you know? But, you know, I figured just as a matter of principle, it's like, shit, you know, this is like a freaking fender bender. I'm sorry. I don't want to, you know, fuck him. You know, I'm not going to just roll over. You know, he picked the wrong defendant, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, no, you got to, you know, because that's what it is. They're going to try to soak you for whatever they can.
Yeah.
You know,
and that
unfortunately,
the name of
the game is just about any accident, I bet. You know, I've been in 2 accidents my whole life. I've never sued anybody. I guess I could have, and I just, you know, I didn't get injured.
Well, you know.
Yeah, this guy's just trying to ratchet up the settlement value.
Yeah, he sees a few dollar signs, and so does the lawyer, and so does the chiropractor, and everybody else in that line.
And the thing is, he had like two accidents, like in the next 10 months after my accident, where I think he was at fault. And you know, he claims he was really injured badly, but then he was enlisted in the Marines just before the accident with me, and I think he remained enlisted in the Marines that next summer, but then he dropped out of it probably because it was too hard. The work was probably too hard. He couldn't, you know. He wanted to get it, you know, he wanted things easy, you know?
Well,
and you go, he was in the Marine Corps. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, really. That's the wrong occupation choice if you want to sit on your ass. And I want to throw out that you just can't quit unless your enlistment's up.
I think he was signed up for basic training and couldn't hack it, I think is what happened.
You ain't walking in the sergeant. I quit today, boss.
I just had an accident. I'm home free now, you know?
Yeah, I'm home free. I got some money coming.
The Air Force never goes anywhere without flush toilets.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, this guy is trouble. I mean, we made a counter demand for judgment. You know, basically the idea of a demand for judgment under California law is that if you have like 30 days to accept it or reject it, and if you reject it, then any costs that are incurred after that date are, you know, if the judgment comes in greater than 50 grand, then any cost the other side incurs above, you know, after that date are have to be paid by the defendant or the person who rejected the offer. And on our, for our part, we also made a demand for judgment of like 10 grand. Which they, of course, rejected. I suspect this case may settle. Maybe 20 grand. I mean, I think that's all this guy should get. I mean, I don't even want to give him that, but just to make the thing go away, you know.
But I do data entry for an insurance firm, and it's my observation that probably 30% of all the claims that I process from start to end up in some kind of litigation.
Really? Wow. Sure.
Yeah, sure. About 3 in 10.
And you know what that's motivated by, Steve? It's our for-profit healthcare system. Because if accidents happen like in other countries, you don't have to worry about having to pay for your medical.
If you go to the doctor, it's that's one of the component. First things. When you go to a doctor, say you got a hurt arm, hurt back, hurt leg, whatever. In my case, I had fallen off a ladder and I broke my arm. Hey, look here, I got to go to the doctor. Well, was this in an automobile accident?
Oh, geez.
No. Well, if it's an auto accident, a lot of health policies have exclusions in them that say they don't pay when there's another potential source of liability.
Right.
Hello, Mr. K. Right.
I told him, I
just a dumbass fell off a ladder.
Yeah. And this attorney was trying to get additional sources to go against because he said, do you have an umbrella insurance policy? And I said, no. And that was one of the things they had asked in the...
dumbass, it's Southern California. I don't even have an umbrella.
Lawsuit demand, you know? And I checked with my homeowner's policy, and it does not cover auto accidents, even if they occur on what would be called your curtilage, because this happened like probably 5 feet away from my driveway, okay? You know, it's real close.
People in California have umbrellas, Bob.
Yeah. Well, at least somebody heard that. I was going for the cheap laugh.
And the other thing he did, Bob, the other thing the guy did was he asked if I was acting in the course or scope of employment at the time of the accident.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Your employer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I said, I think it was a Saturday. I was about to go pick up my new prescription eyeglasses at LensCrafters.
Oh, you're blind, huh?
I don't think that was in the course and scope of my employment. I mean, I didn't say that, but you know.
So you're admitting that you don't have good eyesight, sir, and that.
Well, he asked about that, and I said,
the wheel.
I said I wear contacts, and he even asked me how long have you worn contacts, and I had to think about that for a long time, and I thought, wait a second. I've been nearsighted like since I was, you know, since I was like a little shit, like in fifth grade. And let's see, my first contact lenses. Oh, yeah, I think that was in college. Okay, we're talking the early 80s, sir.
But you can't remember exactly when. So you have a constant problem with your memory, sir?
Well, you know, 35 years ago, damn, I don't know if I was at that party or not, man. I think she said yes. No, I'm sorry. That's bad.
You haven't.
I'm pulling a Kavanaugh there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's no good. Hey, I need to send out a thanks. We've got 29 minutes to go in the program, and I need to send out thanks to Roberto. Roberto just took us down to, 125. And so, yay. Thank you, Roberto. So we're very close to absolutely guaranteeing that, yes, there will be a program Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll have whatever our little birthday party is on Wednesday, which will probably just be another program. But, John, you mentioned a little bit ago your buddy Tim. I don't know how many programs I've got, but can you imagine doing this for 15 years?
No, I've been doing it for two. You know, and I tell people I started doing this every day. I'd show up every day, Monday to Sunday, and ran away. But man, I'll tell you what, that after a year, it was really taxing the body. And that's how come I had to go to three times a week. But now I'm back up to, damn it,
you're
I want to turn the...
You're an old fart, John.
I'm an old fart. When I got pissed off, get off my grass. Are you shitting me? Get that man out of my house.
John, you should volunteer at the voting booth this year. All that piss and vinegar, man.
I'm full of it, baby. I get great joy. You know, I went to town today. I have so many T-shirts. Today I was wearing my Trump Putin 16 campaign T-shirt, and I went to HEB to go shop. I love to wear my T-shirts and go to town. Mama does not go to town with me when I wear one. When Mama goes, I can't wear my T-shirts.
Or if Mama does go, she wears her bulletproof vest with her.
Yeah, you don't want no tip with nobody. Mama wants to go to the store, come out, and that's it. And I do. I walk around with my chest out just looking for eye contact, baby.
GoPro when you do this, because we need some
minutes. I have 23 years of service for my country, and it prevents me from voting for a liar or a traitor to my country.
Damn, damn straight. Yeah, I just did a rough calculation. I think missing a program here and there, probably somewhere on the order of 4,000 shows.
Jeez.
Good Lord.
I like to run my, but running your mouth is you know, because I usually do what about a 30-minute program, anywhere from 25 to 35 minutes, something like that, and it's not that easy to keep your mouth working, because and I'm happy to say that I've inspired a few other people to turn on their camera, because that's what I've told them. I'm nobody. I'm just ugly old fart who got pissed off and turned on my camera, and I've got a large following from it, but it's just my voice. Like I always say, I walk out the door and look down my street. There ain't nobody paying attention to a damn thing I do.
Just think of you as Chauncey Gardner, John. You know, you sort of accidentally become a big deal, right?
Uncle John, I've got a question for you. Yes, didn't you say that your appearance alone, if you don't wear any T-shirts a lot, brings on a lot of false assumptions?
Oh, I with my look,
like,
and because I wear a cowboy hat. I always have, ever since I was old enough to spit, I guess.
You could lure him in that way too.
But with my look right now, I haven't shaved since Trump was elected. So my beard is about 8 inches long. And with my cowboy hat and the way I dress, I trap a lot. Oh, how you doing, buddy? Doing fine. How about you? Ah, blah, blah, blah. Hey, about that Trump. Yeah, let's talk about that.
John, broke out the felt this week because it got cold.
Yes, I had to break out my felt hat. One day, backed up again. Today, I'm back in my straw, back in T-shirt.
We have 35-degree weather up here already.
We got down
30, 40 degrees.
Down to 48 degrees.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with tomorrow,
right.
Bridge Day here. We had a relatively gorgeous day today. Here in the studio, it's still 67 degrees. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow, tomorrow, Bridge Day, 250,000 people wandering around on a span 876 feet above the canyon floor. And it's going to do nothing but rain.
Hell. Chilly, too. A chilly rain.
Yeah, with a high of 55 and a low and an overnight low tomorrow night of 32. And
oh,
they're talking.
God.
And
yes.
No, wait. I'm gonna use the filthiest four-letter word I know. Come Sunday, they're talking about snow.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Bob, I want you to know that I'm going to be suffering with about 80-degree temperature this weekend, including at the Outlaw Festival.
Okay. Oh, there he goes. There he goes again.
Well, I won't tell you guys.
75, 70. But you know, when it snows down here, everybody in South Texas, when it snows down here, we all do the same thing. We run outside with a camera.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. Well, it's, you know, growing.
Runs for the Walmart and buys up all the bread, milk, and eggs.
Yeah, right. And you know, growing up in Alabama, and it's probably a little bit like this way over for you, Steve, they do everything. They damn near declare martial law.
Oh, yeah.
School,
2 inches, everything comes to a halt.
School gets called off on the third flake.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. By the way, I need to.
Stuck on 75 for days. I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
That's okay. I just need to make sure. Kitty took us down to 115, Kitty in Boston. Thank you very kindly, Kitty. So, you know, got a fighting chance. Let me bring the stress line back on. Kevin said he had a question. And I, go ahead, Kevin.
Well, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure. The first question I got is, you were all talking about the quote-unquote accident, and I'm wondering how long do those telemetry, how long do they hold the information for?
Well, that's something that Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, that it's probably been overwritten several times by then, so it may not, the data may not be there. It's kind of one.
Plus, he's probably had other accidents in that vehicle too since then.
All you got to do is unplug the battery, and it probably loses it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. I think there would have to be some kind of tamper proof if you know, because I know there is a law that says something about you can't tamper with them. They're just like an odometer.
It's worth asking my attorneys anyway, because they do they defend, you know, they, most of their clients are insurance companies who are getting sued, and they represent the policyholder, who's me. So
I'm now being told that it overwrites about every 25 startups.
Oh well, forget it then.
So you could just say,
yeah, but the
start,
other but the,
stop it for,
but those
guys,
but the other side may not know.
Yeah.
And so you know, you still might want to ask for it and then complain about destruction of evidence.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Or if he has a bunch of accidents, say, well, look here, aren't you bit hazardous driver? Seems to be a reckless individual.
Yeah. Boy, the these other cars sure seem to find your vehicle. How does that happen, you know?
Uh-huh. The last time.
I think mostly they use those for a large accident, you know.
Yeah, not like these.
Or they'll pull it, you know, they'll pull it in the event of, say, a serious injury or a death.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if the guy was driving for Lyft, I wonder if the restrictions on how long that telemetry must be saved might be longer, since he was commercially driving.
Right. Well, that's a good question. The fact, you know, your reference to him commercially driving is kind of an interesting one, because, you know, Lyft and Uber have employed a new model where they basically have these people driving as independent contractors, not as employees. So there's an issue as to whether they're even driving for commercial purposes. I mean, I guess they are, to the extent that they're independent contractors and they have their own business. They're considered to have their own business. Right. But what happens a lot of times with these drivers, these Lyft and Uber drivers, is they're driving, you know, for Uber or Lyft, and they're not telling their insurance companies that what they're doing.
Right.
So they're logging all these extra miles, and they can get in trouble with their insurance company for,
you can lose your house that way too. That's
misrepresentation.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you could, I suppose, but I mean, you know, you could have your insurance terminated for misrepresenting, you know, that, you know, the number of miles you're driving. You know,
I would check to see if that driver has reported the accident to his insurance company and saying he was driving for Lyft, because if you're right, they could drop him like a rock, and he would be on the hook for, you know, any payout. So,
to the extent that it was his fault, it might have, if he saw me backing out of the driveway and took advantage of the opportunity, then he's obviously comparatively at fault. But I also, you know, he was in the roadway before I was as well. So, you know, realistically, I'm not going to get off scot free as far as responsibility issue goes, as far as being responsible for the accident. But I don't think he has these medical expenses. I think this is all bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It's all legit up.
Cha-ching.
Yeah. Yep, back in babies, baby.
Yeah. Fox News alert, Kaskoski killed in fist fight at concert. I'm not shitting you, man.
Yes, no, that is true. They're saying he got into a fist fight. That's right. Fight.
Oh, Khashoggi. Khashoggi, yeah.
Fox News right
now. It was a fist fight where he couldn't make a fist because his fucking fingers were gone. not making a joke.
Rubes will believe this nonsense. Don't believe it.
I heard the Saudi story right before I came out here, and it's a bunch of bullshit. But they are going to try to sell. They arrested the intelligence officer who's going to take the scapegoat for, and they arrested 18 people. No, they fired
the black guy.
Yeah, they fired him, and then they arrested 18. Are you shitting me? Arrested him for
Did
what?
Did you guys hear Malloy last night?
There ain't nobody buy this bullshit from that's just a load of crap. It doesn't pass the.
No, what did Malloy say?
Malloy read off Andy Borowitz's post, where this is how it went. It was Trump sent Sarah Huckleberry Sanders over to Saudi Arabia to teach them how to lie. Lies were
Sarah Sanders, America's turd polisher.
So she was sent over there turd in an emergency polisher. to teach them how to lie a hell of a lot better, because nobody's buying the shit they're selling.
No way. Should buy this kind of.
So I've got an early game update. The first batter for the Dodgers apparently hit a solo home run, so it's 1-0.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's going to make Marty. That's going to make Marty unhappy. He's rooting for the Brewers.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob, am I on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, good. Hey, here's my take on the fist fight story. It took them 2 weeks, 10 days, 2 weeks to get to this. I've heard of Edward Scissorhands. I have not heard of Ahmed
Bonesaw.
It was a total accident. I went to Patty.
You'll smoke a turd in hell for that one.
Well, it's not as bad as the one I
his
came up with the other day. The Saudi rogue action team has been signed to a record contract. And I shouldn't even do this. No, I'm not. Anybody wants to know?
Yes. Go ahead, Scott.
You can't leave us hanging around, Scott.
I'm proud to be a hacker of Khashoggi. That's probably the worst thing I've ever said, and I will go to hell for that one.
will.
Anyway, listen.
This goes along with the Onion breaking news in the Onion, where they said that the Onion is on the verge of collapse after not being able to make up shit that is more idiotic than the current reality.
Well, there you go. You ask
every day.
You get me. Okay. Listen, this will be real quick. A shake and bake is great, okay? But if you want a way to cook pork chops that will curl your toes and make you scream the name of God or whomever. My mother had a recipe called Arabian pork chops. Just Google that. And it's the same recipe. I'm serious. Arabian pork chops. This is real. The best damn pork chops you're ever going to eat But in the recipe, instead of 2 cups of hot water, use 2 cups of hot chicken broth. And I swear, this will take you home. This is some great pork chops. And they stay moist and tender and But
you said Arabian pork chops? Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of a non sequitur.
Well, no, I know that. If you Google it.
Scott, jumbo shrimp. Got a dash of shaggy to that or what?
Yeah. What?
Okay.
Is that what they serve at the Turkish embassy or consulate?
No,
sorry.
Yeah, in the commissary, it's not moving at all. I mean, it just sits there in the display. But this is the nightmare auto accident lawsuit. This is the ultimate one. All right, 1974, for about a year and a half, I was a driver for a film processing company in D.C. in Alexandria, Virginia. And my route was like 300 miles a day up through Virginia, West Virginia Panhandle, Western Maryland, and then back down into Virginia again. It was just a hellacious route. And I would pick up film for processing and drop off prints along with photographic supplies to all these stores on the route. Well, the route would carry me down Route 7 in Virginia, outside of D.C., to little towns on the way to Winchester called Purcellville, Berryville, places like that, Leesburg. And one of those towns, there's on Route 7, there are 3 dips in the road. Well, I've driven this for months and months and months. Coming up over the last dip, I run into the back of a car, which has stopped for another car, which has stopped for yet another car, who has stopped for a line of baby ducks crossing the road. Okay? So
bam, 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 bam.
I hit the first car. The first car hits the second car, and the ducks are, they have crossed by then. They're unscathed. So I worked for the company about 18 months. By now it's 1976, 2 years later. I wake up to the sound of my phone ringing. My dad is on the other end of the phone. He says, "Are you sitting down?" I said, "Well, actually, I'm still in bed. You woke me up." He says, "Good. You're being sued for $1 million. Well, if they could have bottled that, it would have put Ex-Lax out of business because I damn near shit. Okay? I said, "What?" He said, "Do you remember the ducks?" And that's all he had to say, okay? So basically, this woman who was claiming a neck injury, a back injury, sued me and the company I had worked for because I was on assignment for that company for $1 million. Well, it ended up going to court, and she did not prevail. But I'm telling you, that'll wake you up in a hurry. To be told that you're being sued for $1 million that I didn't have.
I've got your beat, Scott. I've got your beat.
Uh-oh. Okay.
A couple years after I left the government, I got a summons and a complaint from a previous client, if you want to call it that, as a taxpayer, suing me for $26 million.
Oh, God.
It was a tax protester. So he had not a prayer of winning, you know.
I remember picking the phone up one night. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Guy was in hysterics. He said, "I've been sued for $1 million. And, you know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Didn't appreciate the call. Client and everything, but my answer was, "Got $1 million? No! Go to bed. We'll talk about it in the morning." Because, the initial reaction is exactly what Scott described, and same with you, but the bottom line is, it's what bankruptcy's for. And if you don't have $1 million in the first place, it's not like you can go out and print it up.
Yeah, it's still blood turnip.
principle.
Let me go get that out of this box in the backyard. I just happened to have $1 million hanging around.
Just buried it the other day.
Oh, yeah. Just buried it.
Oh, God damn it. It's Confederate money.
Shit. God damn it.
I throw my Josh OJ, right?
Yeah.
Dude.
Damn it. It's got the devil's diaper on it. Won't do me any good.
To me for $1 million, I'm laughing my ass off. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, good luck.
John?
Hey, Bob, John, I wanted to ask some questions around, and I haven't heard the latest on the story in New York about the Proud Boys. Were there any arrests made?
The NYPD put out some photographs and said they're looking for somebody, or they're looking for people. They're looking for 12 people, 9 Proud Boys, and 3 Antifa.
The 3 Antifa were busy getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, I know. Their faces kept running into the Proud Boys' boots.
Destruction of property with their skull against the
pavement. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, I've got one for John about T-shirts.
Yes, sir.
And this T-shirt does not exist, so somebody's going to have to design it and make it for you. But imagine the seal or the crest of a institution of higher learning, okay?
Yes, sir.
And above it, it will say catatonic state, and then underneath it'll say mime squad. Like M-I-M-E, like white faced or some
mime squad.
Catatonic state mime squad. And that will cause much confusion down there in the Lone Star State, I predict.
Oh, a lot of them will just get lost on Catahou.
Yeah, they'll try to get, they'll just accept it as,
Cat tonic, isn't that something I give,
They got a ball team? Do they have a ball team on that school?
Yeah.
That's where they'll get lost.
I'm going to go. But
I used to have a t-shirt. Am I still there?
Yeah, you're here.
I can't hear a soul.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, you're there, John.
Shoot.
John.
I'm here. I lost y'all for a minute. Y'all run right out the door and left me in here all alone. I was getting lonely. No, I lost y'all there for a minute.
It must be Skype again.
It is. Terrible connection out here. Mine fades in, fades out. You know, if a butterfly flies by, I'm in trouble.
That reminds me of that joke that we had last week on Friday. And I was laughing all week about it because the whole I was going to mail my underwear to Beto in his new D.C. office when he wins the senator race. And then I'm kicking myself I didn't start a panties for Beto campaign for him, only because it'd be absolutely hilarious to hear Ted Cruz complain about it on the campaign trail.
Have y'all seen that new little video with it's a perfect video. It's about Beto, and it's sung to the tune of Leader of the Pack. Have you seen that?
Oh, God.
Oh, it is so great. Three ladies put on this with a lot of neighbors in a nice little neighborhood. And
is that on YouTube, John?
Look it up. I believe it would have to be. Yes, I shared it to everybody I knew. It was just so perfect. Where'd you meet him? I met him at the rally. You know, it's so great. I love it.
I love it.
He makes us happy.
I met him at the skateboard. At the skateboard link.
One of my favorites is when the actor from Bernie, the movie Bernie, calls him out. The old guy.
Yeah.
You go to do Ted. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, that's true. That is true. He, you know, Donnie called his wife ugly and his daddy gonna kill Kennedy and all that shit. You going to tell me you'd stand there and kiss that man's ass? I don't think so. My wife slapped the shit out of me if I didn't stand up for her. You know?
And then Ted says that makes him tough as Texas. And Texas more or less laughed at him.
You ain't going to turn your back on me. I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
I can't believe Ted Cruz can call himself a Texan. I mean, that's
mind-boggling.
It's just mind-boggling. He's a Canadian.
Keep trying to get Bob's words out of my mouth when I'm on my show. I just can't do it like Bob.
Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. I need to just make an MP3 file of that for you. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America.
That's
John, here's one that you can remember. Ted Cruz says he's tough. He's Texas tough. Yeah. I have driven past flat armadillos in the road that are tougher than Ted Cruz.
See, I've lost y'all again. This sucks.
We can hear you, John.
Yeah, you're not losing you.
Only thing Cruz
is as tough as a jellyfish.
Ted Cruz.
You know, well,
he's a worm. He's a used car. It's sleazy. That man never looks like he's clean.
He looks like a priggish, uptight boarding school boy.
Well, no, he always
trying to enforce the damn rules. And
he
shit.
Always looks like a wax model at Madame Tussauds, and the air conditioning's gone out, and he started to, you know, because you know how wax will sweat.
Rubio should throw his water on him and see what happens.
Oh God.
Oh, nobody likes Ted Cruz. Nobody.
It's amazing he managed to do the job to begin with.
Open money on him if he did, but I don't think he's going to do it this time, baby. I think we're going to get rid of his ass.
Well, I mean, when
all this stuff about the polls
and neck and neck, it's bullshit.
Oh, they have Ted Cruz 10 points ahead of Beto this week.
I don't believe that shit.
See, I'm with you, Sparky. I don't believe these Marsha up by what 14? I heard.
Oh, I think Tennessee's in play, too. Big time.
This all sounds like bullshit to me.
Well, it's the game. You know, except this time.
Find out November 6th.
Except this time, everything's on the table.
It is. This time, old.
Yeah, Jennifer Rubin of the Washington Post went so far as to say, and, you know, she's a conservative, okay? She said, speaking of Rafael Leto, she said, he's completely fluid. He talks from the diaphragm up. There are so many politicians who either screech, they turn up way too high because they're faking emotion, or they're way too reticent and brittle. And Nicole Wallace said, well, where's Cruz talking from? Is it his nose? And she laughed and rolled her eyes, Jennifer Rubin did, and she said, good golly. And then there are people who are just unlikable. That's the Ted Cruz problem.
That's it.
I mean, when one of his own biggest funders says, you know, nobody really likes Ted because he's not a nice guy.
He's not
a dick.
He's a dick, and he does dick things. I like that. Lauren Comedy did a little song, "Oh Beto," and one of the lines in her little comedy song is, "Even Ted Cruz's kids wish Beto was their daddy."
Yeah, but the thing is, that's funny. He's been able to cultivate this. He's the smartest guy in the Senate because he went to Harvard Law School, yada yada.
He's been to the Supreme Court.
Everybody at Harvard knew he was a master debater.
Yes. What?
Oh, God.
Yes, he masticates all day.
Ted Cruz's teenage daughter has a poster of Beto on her ceiling in her bedroom.
Oh, God.
Right. Come on.
Dang. Wow. Her
daddy can't ride no skateboard playing no rock band. Nuh-uh.
Hey, John, where's Garland, Texas?
Garland is, if I got my mind right here on my map, it's about mid-state, south of Dallas-Fort Worth area, a little bit southwest, I'm thinking.
Because I got a Texas story here out of Garland.
I could be off on that.
So there's a family in Garland, Texas, and Mama was kind of surprised when she got this letter recently because she had informed school authorities that her daughter was going to be staying out of school because of Yom Kippur. They're Jewish. And you don't get much more high holy day than Yom Kippur.
Oh, see it?
No.
The Day of Atonement, okay? So she gets this letter from the principal at the school that says, please send documentation from the religious establishment you attended. Prove you're Jewish.
Excuse me?
Oh, my God.
Well, if there's a good Jewish mother, she'd go down there and prove she's Jewish, okay? She'd up in that woman's face and heartbeat. Ridiculous question. That's ignorance. That's just somebody trying to be a dick. There you go. Being a dick. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Maybe she doesn't look Jewish. You know, what the hell does that mean?
He needed slapping law. See, that way that lady could just
that's a classic.
Slap that lady in the face.
That's a classic example of a violation of Article 99A, dumbass.
Hey, dumbass, are you stupid? We're trying to do away with that in our gene pool. Get that out of here.
Get out of our gene pool.
Ignorant shit.
Get out of our gene pool. Mm-mm. Somebody stuck in there when the lifeguard was off duty.
Yeah, Gary tells me Garland's a suburb of Dallas on the east side.
East side. See, Texas is a big state, baby. I've been a lot of it.
Well, it is, but, I mean, you're responsible for the entire... you know, on Fridays, you're responsible for the entire state, pretty much, John.
I'm from South Texas. Now, what goes on north of San Antonio, I don't know.
it's a whole nother country. It's like West Virginia north of the Little Kanawha.
I am proud to say that I have traveled just about every corner of my state. I have visited almost all our parks. For the years that my wife and children and I were traveling on our RV, we crisscrossed this state left and right. So I'm pretty proud of Texas. I'm proud of my state, but we just need to turn it blue, baby. And Texas is a non-voting state. Texas is a gerrymandered state like you wouldn't believe.
If they wanted y'all to vote, they wouldn't be Republicans.
That's right.
I mean, it's simple enough. Well, hey, y'all, thanks a bunch for jumping in this evening. It's been a rousing conversation again.
Thank you, Bob.
Hey, Steve, are you getting back into the swing of things?
Oh man, I'm at restart, brother.
So gonna go out and run a mile or two every morning now, or?
I put in a half mile a day. They told me to take it easy.
Oh well, okay, good man, right. Good man. I'm happy to hear it.
Good.
And I got a bottle of Jefferson's Ocean. Just nothing crazy. Just a couple of shots, just to make me feel a little human.
Medicinal.
Medicinal, right. In fact, I put it on my medicinal credit card, so.
How far did you run?
No, sir, I didn't run. I walked a half a mile.
Oh,
I used
good.
To walk 2 miles a day. Yeah, I got it. They told me to start slow. We don't want you stroking out.
Well, I'm probably going to be a little bit sore by Sunday, because that's a lot of walking tomorrow. You walk about a mile to get to the bridge, and then the bridge is a mile long.
Oh, geez.
And so tomorrow's going to be one of those 5 mile days, but it'll
be a walk like a butterfly.
Bob, is it a fundraiser thing or?
Bicycle instead, Bob?
No, there will be no. They don't let bicycles onto the bridge. Hell, you can't carry a backpack onto the bridge.
How about wheelchairs?
I remember that story. You told that story, Bob. That was a good one.
No backpacks on the bridge, but no. I don't. Maybe wheel. It wouldn't be advisable.
Okay.
Steve, thanks for asking. We are at 1:15 to go. So
we're definitely having a show on Monday.
We'll be here on Monday. I mean, I hate sweating this stuff, but
Call me if you need to, okay?
All right, hopefully it'll get knocked the rest of the way down.
All right, that's what I'm hoping.
But thanks, everybody, for joining in. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll try to post some pictures from what looks to be a really wet, sloppy bridge day, damn it.
It'll be an adventure, Bob. An adventure, I tell you.
Well, you know, we'll be nice and warm with some good hot homemade chili. So that's cool.
There you go. There you go. Buddy.
Got some good news for Marty. The Brewers just took a 2-1 lead on a 2-run double by Ryan Braun. It looks like so.
There you go.
All righty. Yeah. All righty. Well, y'all have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to everybody who chipped in and pitched in to keep us on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little program. Thanks, thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the group tonight, in the Skype group tonight. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room tonight. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff and the news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, Head On Live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.